Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Dr. Stan Monteith's going to join us for about an hour and a half today to get deeply into the history of eugenics, HIV being a government weapons program, and a lot more. Part two of an interview we did last week. Then economist, former White House historian, consultant to NASA, Washington Post writer, Richard C. Cook will join us to talk about Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, what's happening with Russia, Iran, different geopolitical developments. And then later today, I'm supposed to be live on Press TV, folks. That is Iranian television. Been on Russian television, Iranian television. It's just amazing. And frankly, I don't like doing it. I don't like how it's construed. It is construed. I am construed by doing it. By people out there, but I will tell the truth anywhere, anytime, any place to get the information out to the people. Whatever the cost may be, we shall go on to the end. And tomorrow morning, I'm on with Dudley and Bob in studio here in Austin, Texas on KLBJ 93.7. I will not be in New York. I've got to go down to East Texas to see family, and then to South Texas, to Houston, to see my great uncle who's got pancreatic cancer. And he's had it for months, and I haven't visited him yet, and I need to get down there and see him because that is a very serious, fast-acting cancer. I'm not going to say any more. I have family listening. But now a hurricane's set to be hitting Houston right when I'm supposed to be down there, so I don't know. Should I go jump on a plane at the end of the show and go to New York and then miss some of the show next week to go see family? Anyways, that's the type of stuff going on in my mind that distracts me from all the news and information that we have here today. Very important radio show today. Very important information. I want to do this. I want to just go over the headlines from today, yesterday, and Monday, because I really have covered maybe 20-30% of the news I had in my stacks, and it's all important. So I just want to at least briefly get into a huge jumbo serving of news. Then I have a whole bunch of audio clips I want to play on a host of issues. Turns out we have found, and Paul Watson posted some clips from press conferences where Donald Rumsfeld and then General Myers, who was chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff a few years ago, Mr. 9/11, you can call him, running the war games, targeting the exact same locations at the exact same time. Put two and two together. Not a very nice person. But I guess it's just a military pawn sacrifice for the greater good. That's the higher level military mind. But talking about directed energy weapons, high-powered microwaves that literally fry people, that make, it's like when you put a hot dog in the microwave for 30 minutes, it'll shrink down to the size of a breakfast sausage or a beanie weenie. That's what it does. They just fry everybody. It's a terror weapon, though. It doesn't really have a classical military application for destroying armor or killing infantry. It's just meant to fry whole villages of people. And it does quite nicely. So they get into that. And they also have some type of particle beams that slice people up quite nicely. You don't hear anything. You don't even see anything. Just suddenly everybody's sliced up in little pieces. They've got other beams that fry. Folks kind of pop when they get hit with them. Can you imagine these psychopaths that run things? They just love it. They love frying a bunch of Iraqis in a square more than they love Dine Corps delivering kidnapped children to them, so they can rip their teeth out with pliers like they do. Yep, that's your government. Absolute psychopathic killers. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, the big political diversion of the day is McCain camp. Obama's lipstick remark is disgraceful. See, this is the way our society is being turned into a bunch of ninnies. Oh, don't state the obvious. Don't say that McCain is like a 8-year-old dead fish wrapped in a piece of newspaper stinking. Don't say that you can put perfume on a pig, lipstick on a pig. I mean, that's saying that they're trying to put a pretty face on an agenda that is bad. Now, of course, that's within the control paradigm. We know that when it comes down to actual policies, there's almost no difference in presidents or puppets to begin with. Northcom, working directly for the private banks, completely runs the United States and much of the world. But let's go ahead and play that clip of Obama with the lipstick comment.
Let's just list this for a second. John McCain says he's about change too. Except, and so I guess his whole angle is, watch out, George Bush. Except for economic policy, health care policy, tax policy, education policy, foreign policy, and Karl Rove-style politics, we're really going to shake things up in Washington. That's not change. That's just calling some the same thing something different. But you know, you can't, you know, you can put lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig.
Now, clearly they're saying that she is the lipstick. It's not even an insult to Sarah Palin. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Palin will run absolutely nothing. It doesn't matter on the surface that she claims she's pro-life. Both political parties are bought and paid for by the same interest. And I know that our listeners understand that, understand that we're in a national security state dictatorship, but until the general public is educated to that, we have no hope of ever getting control of our government. Barack Obama and Sarah Palin and Joe Biden and the rest of them are tailor-made to get people back to the table, back into the soap opera of he said, she said. Meanwhile, there's other little dramas going on. Oh, Gordon Brown has triggered a big fight with John McCain by backing Barack Obama is the headline of the London Telegraph today. Oh, it's again, always propping up the image that Gordon Brown actually runs something or that his endorsement matters or these people run something. It's all about the public never looking at the shadow government. And it goes on with Washington Post, basically the official CIA newspaper. Palin energizing women from around the world. Energizing women from all walks of life. Oh, it's so wonderful. Let's all get suckered back in, just like they've written all these headlines about Obama energizing people that were never involved. Oh, bring them back into the scam. Bring them back into the fraud. Bring them back into the delusion. Meanwhile, you don't hear John McCain and Sarah Palin talking about the fact that Bush signed back onto UNESCO that runs our educational systems, our environmental systems, that openly says eradicate the family, it's a disease. In fact, we saw George Bush double the Health and Human Services planning, which funds the bounties on grabbing 1,400,000 children, most of them from good families, and doing medical experiments on them, selling them off to people that don't know they're getting kidnapped children when they adopt, warehousing them in foster care where they're tortured and killed. And I mean, that's just a fact, folks. Do you understand the carnage? Because there's oversights in the prisons. There's no oversight. They can literally beat and stab and shoot foster children and nothing happens to them. And they do. Every day I read about them finding another one strapped down in a cage for months without food, rats all over them eating their bodies, roaches eating their bodies. Type foster child eaten by roaches. Hundreds of cases. You know, I talk about how there have been cases all over the country of troops tied down, being euthanized, and how maggots eat their brains. And then idiots send me emails or post articles saying I'm a liar, that maggots only eat dead flesh. The most common species of fly larva, but there are scores of species of fly larva that eat living flesh. So shut up. How dare you say I'm a liar when everything I just said was right out of mainstream newspapers. But you're a lazy jackass. You're not going to go find out if veterans are being eaten by maggots. You're just going to fly a flag out front of your house and say I'm a liar. You're going to say I'm a liar when I told you years ago that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were going to collapse in a scam Ponzi scheme. And even as it happens, you're going to call it conservative. You're going to call a tripling of the government, a tripling of the BATF conservative. You're going to listen to Rush Limbaugh and be pacified, just like the liberals are going to listen to Barack Obama and be pacified. All right, I said I was in the cover news, and I'm going into a rant. I got to stop. But this is important news. Almost 1,000 deaths this year in Mexico border city in one town. One town. This is out of World News Agency French Press. It's big news in Europe. The rocket attacks, the car bombs, the cops getting killed all over Texas. The gang riots. It's on European TV when somebody tries to take a Mexican flag down at a post office, the person being drug off and beat up. It is never on our news because the cattle aren't to be told about that. They're meant to debate all day. Barack Obama talking about putting lipstick on a pig. Mexicans plan mass protest against insecurity on Saturday, but not in the city with the highest murder rate this year, where many are focused on the more immediate safety concerns. See, government corruption leads to total collapse of societies, like Haiti, or Guatemala, or Russia, for that matter, or Rome, 1,600 years ago. We're just a few years away from the anniversary of the fall of Rome, 410. A bunch of hubris-filled, arrogant, corrupt government individuals. Violence has escalated throughout Mexico since President Felipe Calderon, who took office at the end of 2006, launched a military crackdown on drug trafficking, but nowhere more than the city of Juarez. 2,700 murders on the border alone. 1,000 have been in the city across the Rio Grande from El Paso, Texas, including three in the most recent attacks Friday. And what's their answer? Harassing citizens, gun sweeps all over the country. But when the cops pull over an illegal alien with weapons, drugs, they're just released. Because we need to get Celia Castillo on about this sniper veteran, Vietnam, police officer, then DEA agent, head of operations in all of Central and South America. And they just said, yeah, that's the way we do it. You're only here to bust our competition, some of these smaller cartels and outfits. We go in and spray the coca fields that aren't owned by U.S. banks, that aren't tended by our people. And our airports are here at Elapongo and other places to load the cocaine and heroin we ship in from Asia to be flown into the U.S. He said, what? And they said, yeah. And if you don't like it, we'll just kill you. Official U.S. government continues today. And now society is imploding and just falling apart. Don't you worry. That black and white's going to give you a ticket for going 5 miles over the speed limit. And if your child falls off a jungle gym and breaks a finger, they're going to try to take them. Or if you tell that nurse you're poor, they're going to try to take your kids to the hospital. The book is to be thrown at you, the dumb, sappy cattle. But we told you 5 years ago the CIA was opening up an official war against drug cartels that were vying for control against them. And U.S. Special Forces, private contractors, Los Zetas, and the Mexican government with the U.S., with Bush trying to fund them over $100 billion. Remember that? They're funding them about $10 billion a year, but he wants $100 plus billion, what, $167 billion. And that's to try to win the drug war. But it's to secure that they make the entire profit, including putting you in their private jails when they catch you using their product. Young people, I'm not knocking you if you got tattoos and long hair, but you're wearing a uniform the police have been trained to alert on. I don't care what you look like. It doesn't mean anything to me. Okay? I mean, I'm to the point where I got five pairs of jeans and about five t-shirts I wear. I'm not into how you look. I don't care. If you enjoy looking like that, fine. Point is, they've trained you to dress like that through the control corporate media to think you're being rebellious so they can alert on you. You're not winning looking like that. Enemy operations are running everywhere against you. You understand that? You think using drugs is cool, legal and illegal. Stop. And myself included. Alcohol, everything. Just don't use any other products. Tobacco, filter your water. Just have quiet love for your family and hatred for them. You will defeat them. You will defeat them by being clean. American war between cowboys, that is roughneck, freebooting, piratical drug dealers who only account for about 10-15% of the heroin and cocaine market. If you look at the numbers, and this has been studied, but just that amount is cutting in on the massive profits of the private central banks that launder that money and the government officials that are paid large portions of it. And it's federal law that drug money can be invested in the stock market as long as it's outside the country, invested in. This is all a public secret. I mean, for adults, it's well known and it's in major economic journals and it even comes out in Reuters. And it's kind of like, yes, the little dumb cattle won't know we're taking them and their children to prison for using the product we ship in. And the cops will glad hand around and smile and say, that's ridiculous. The government doesn't chip it in. I've lost a lot of friends. I've had officers that were killed. Well, you're the schmucks that work for the system, too. I didn't say it wasn't a real drug war down on the ground. I didn't say there weren't scumbag criminals involved in the drug trade. They'll be involved in whatever's illegal. You've given them a big fat market. And sure, there's crackheads breaking in houses every second to steal stereos and computers and jewelry. A lot of times it goes bad and they kill families because they want your products. But don't sit here and say that the drugs aren't shipped in by the government. They've been caught hundreds and hundreds of times. There have been congressional hearings. The CIA's admitted it. So stop talking to us like we're children. And if you're a cop out there and you don't know the war on drugs is a fraud, then you really are living in la-la land. You really are a little boy or a little girl. You are a joke. Being stupid is a joke. Being fooled is a joke. Believing that you can just say, I don't believe it. I just don't. It's just not. Well, try going and jumping off the Grand Canyon and saying, I just don't believe it's the Grand Canyon. I just don't believe it's a 1,000-foot drop off this cliff. I just don't. I was on a national British radio show last night, and they were saying, but Alex, you're so negative. You're so, you know, you're not positive. If I'm walking through the West Texas scrub brush, let's say I'm out hiking and my car is 5 miles away, and I get bit by a rattlesnake on my knee, and it pumps venom in, I'm going to throw it off of me. I'm not even going to spend time killing it. That's what a rattler does. But I'm going to pull my knife out, and I'm going to slice that area open, and I'm going to sit there and let it bleed. I'm not going to just going to suck the poison out. I'm going to really gouge it out and let it bleed, and then I'm going to try to get back to my car. Now, I could be positive and say, hi, Mr. Snake. I love you. Oh, just let me let you hang on my knee. You just sit there and you pump that venom in. Oh, I feel cold now, Mr. Snake. Oh, it's hot out here in the desert, but I feel cold. I'll just lay down over here under a bush, Mr. Snake. Because I'm going to be positive.
No, the country's been bitten by a snake, and I'm trying to gouge out the wound.
I go and bullhorn MSNBC and get beat up doing it. And people say, oh, that was a little harsh. He was a little extreme. You know, oh, he shouldn't yell at Michelle Malkin for calling for putting Americans in concentration camps and writing a book about it and saying torture's good. Oh, that's a little extreme. The neocons have just called for Alex's arrest and he gets in their faces. Yeah, they've called for my arrest. How dare him get in their face? Oh, she got up on her blog and said I was a liar about the Marines throwing that puppy off a cliff when it was admitted it was true. Oh, that's mean. Don't stand up. You've been taught how. Oh, don't say put lipstick on a pig. Doesn't matter if that's all fake with Obama and her. The point is they're training you to be these little timid, little like three-year-olds. He said put lipstick on a pig. Oh, go goodness gracious. We're supposed to stand down and be these knock-kneed cowards. Instead of being strong and bold and go, cops pulled me over before I want to search my car for drugs and I just start laughing at them. I go, I don't use the stuff your bosses ship in. They're like, that's not a very nice thing to say about America. Well, it's not very nice to be violating my Fourth Amendment. Go get a drug dog if you want. We'll sit here for a few hours. But you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Your children are going to grow up in a total police state. And a police state officer is about the government robbing the people, and that includes you. And they usually stick their tail between their legs and leave. Be right back.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
That's right, it's The Distance. 20 films, 13 years on air. And you're going the distance with us as well.
Trophy, no flowers, no flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still thriving, still making the grade. She's hoping in time that her memories will fade. Cause he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and riding on his horse. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago, somebody left with the cup. But he's striving and driving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns.
Cause he's going the distance. He's going for speed.
You know, all these Johnny Come Latelys pop on the Patriot scene.
Because he's racing and pacing.
And then they immediately attack everyone around them in the name of them being attacked. There's hundreds of them. They show up and say, let me take over your operation. Hand your radio show, your website over to me. And you say no, and they say, you're a fed, you're bad, you're evil, I'm going to get you. You did this and that to me. Hey, schizophrenics, that's why you're not successful. That's why it's the icons in this movement that continue and go forward, because they're normal. They're not mentally ill like Dr. Stan Monteith, who is on a 20-plus-year mission. Or people like G. Edward Griffin, who is on a 50-plus-year mission. Or people like Bob Chapman on a 50, almost 50-year mission. You see, it's about the information. It's about going the distance. It's about getting the information out. It's about fighting the New World Order. That's one of the things that holds back our movement is so many people, we wake up. So many people that my listeners, and believe me, folks, we're just this radio show and my websites are accounting for close to 90% of the new people that are being woken up globally. We've analyzed it. You see it on the streets. And the responsibility of that is just massive. And I do not claim to be up to the task. I do not claim to be the right stuff for even being, quote, a leader. I'm just going to give the New World Order hell. I'm going to fight them as hard as I can. And it is because of you that we're waking up so many people. So I salute you. Keep up what you're doing. I mean, look at 9/11 Truth. The 7th anniversary of the government attacks coming up tomorrow. We'll have live reports from New York and other areas around the country. Look at everything we've done together. Look at how far we've come. And then you see these disinfo trolls all over MySpace, all over YouTube, all over Dig, all over every message board saying the same thing. The same people posting in hundreds of blogs a day. It's their job. 9/11 Truth dead. 9/11 Truth's old. 9/11 Truth fell apart. 9/11 Truth imploded. And I watch some weak 9/11 Truth people go, oh, yeah, the movement's over. Folks, that's Tokyo Rose. We are kicking their butt. We are defeating the New World Order. We are waking people up like never before. We're making inroads in 1 week bigger than what was made, you know, in decades back in the 50s and 60s. We are just absolutely got the golden touch right now. We're knocking out of the park home runs every time we get up to bat. And the enemy saying, oh my gosh, you're losing. You know, you're down. You're down 5 home runs in the 9th inning. We're ahead. Don't listen to the enemy chatter. Look at what's happening for yourself. And again, this country's been bit by a giant cobra. And they're telling you, don't be negative. Just believe that a cobra bite is good for you. And I'm saying, nuh-uh. Jab a knife in both those holes, bleed it out. Bleed it out and then put a tourniquet on it. And then get to the hospital and get some anti-venom. And they're going, no, cobras don't exist. What was that big black snake that just bit me? Snakes don't exist. But that snake keeps calling for the New World Order. It does exist. No, I was on this radio show yesterday, and they said, the New World Order doesn't exist. And I said, but your own Gordon Brown's calling for it, your own prime minister. And they said, well, he's calling for one to exist. Oh, I see. Yeah, I mean, it's a cancer that's spread all over our body. If we have emergency surgery, we can probably get it removed. But if we wait much longer, it will metastasize into the brain. It'll be too late. It'll metastasize into the bone and then be exported all over the body. And they're saying, it's not cancer. It's not cancer. Everything's fine. Everything's okay. Everything's good. Don't be negative. Don't be negative. Don't listen to crazy people. For the police and the military, you can find out in 5 minutes what sodium fluoride is. It is the sodium fluoride itself is deadly and attacks all the organs and glands and massively increases bone cancer. Just type in fluoride bone cancer, fluoride brain cancer, fluoride leukemia, fluoride diabetes. Just fries you. But when you hear sodium fluoride, that's a catch-all term for hundreds of Grignard reagents, toxic compounds, and heavy metals. They legally put it in the water supply. And you know how they got them to do it in the 40s? They told racist white army people and government tacticians, look, these blacks are going to riot. We got to pump this into their neighborhoods. And so it began. And they have, you heard Dr. Monti, federal studies, 5 times the fluoride in major cities is pumped into the poor areas. That means 5 times the lead, the mercury, the arsenic. Let me give you a newsflash. I'm going to tell you again, cops, do not suck your thumb. You cannot avoid this. You will go to Google tonight. I am begging you to stop being cowards and to go to Google and go to mainstream government sites. They will admit what sodium fluoride is. Here's another example. And I knew this years ago, but my father reminded me. A few months ago, I was having dinner over at their house. And I was talking about how in the 40s they had all the byproduct sodium fluoride and stannous fluoride and other types from the cracking of the oil. That's how the first chemical they break it down with for refining. And they had it from the byproducts of chemical fertilizer production, which is also with petrochemicals, oil. And they had it with the aluminum byproduct of refining aluminum. And they had giant warehouses everywhere. And I mean, one canister would roll off a truck and get in a river in Tennessee and or in Texas. There were a bunch of famous cases. Or in Ohio. And it would kill all the fish and kill any cows that drank it. And people that drank the water and the water supplies it got into, you know, there would just be massive retardation of children. And they said, you know what we'll do? We will diffuse this into the general water supply and it will brain damage them. And it will sterilize people and hurt them. That's eugenics. And they did it. And then if people complained, they said, oh, that's crazy McCarthy people. So that's when they finally shut McCarthy down. They liked using McCarthy when he was just shutting down free speech and going after leftists. But as soon as he went, I just discovered it's a new world order and the army runs it and they're poisoning the water. I have documents. That was it for him. They dropped the hammer on him real fast. You see, he broke into the other side, went, whoa, they run it all. This commie thing's just a front. So you go find out. But so I'm talking to my dad about it, and I go, yeah, they just take the toxic waste like DU, the spent fuel rods, and the byproducts of uranium enrichment, and they take the isotope and they make it into weapon systems and armor, and they've now been caught putting it in special steel for construction. And he goes, oh, it's just like fertilizer, son. And of course, he'd been told this by his uncle, the one that's got pancreatic cancer, who ran one of the biggest refineries in Houston years ago. And I went back to the deer camp, back to being a little kid, back to that discussion of the toxic fertilizer, and back to my uncle, great uncle, saying, man, don't use that yard fertilizer, that stuff they say put on your yard. And my dad going, why? And going, well, David, you see, we've got to get rid of all this toxic waste. And so what we do is we sell it to the fertilizer companies, but Congress got involved back in the 70s and said, well, you can't put it in farm fertilizer that goes right on the food. Put it on yard fertilizer. And that's why grass fertilizer says don't use in gardening. Don't use in farming. But of course, and I was telling the British media about the thing, and the British talk show host goes, yeah, I know about that. We do that here too. That way it doesn't run in the ocean like we used to dump it. He said that real proud. Well, we used to just dump it in the ocean. And I said, what are you talking about? Now you localize it into your yard if your dog lays in it. I remember one time they just fertilized and my dog laid in a little bit of it and all his hair fell off. And he got a big rash. We took him to the vet, and they said, did you just fertilize? Yes. Oh, that stuff's deadly poison. And there's no reason to mix lead and mercury and arsenic and all of these other, what they call, Grignard reagents from the chemical separations in the cyanide. Now, don't laugh, cops. Your kids are playing in that yard. Don't laugh because you're invested in the lies. Bureaucrats, government people, do not laugh at me. This is real. This is serious. This is not a joke or a game. And that is the secret to everything they do. And then I've been thinking about this a lot the last few days, and my wife off eBay bought those 1950s pitcher encyclopedias, and there's got to be 30 of them. Some are giant, some are medium-sized, and I just pulled one out of the middle of the stack. Talk about fate. I mean, I'm not into mumbo-jumbo, but I just said, I need to look at this, and I just grabbed one. While I was thinking about the oil, I pull it out, I open it. This is on the weekend, this is Sunday morning, with a cup of black Stygian coffee in my hand, and I open it, and it's a whole chapter on oil refining. And it and then there they admitted in the 50s they were doing it all but said it was good. So you better believe I want to get off of oil. But they're not going to let us. They're going to give you a carbon tax on oil and control it. Oil isn't bad for the reason they tell you, though. They can never tell the truth. Oil is not bad for greenhouse gases and heating the earth. Oil is bad because of the byproducts of it. That's why it's bad. 25 million barrels a day is what we use? My God. But see, in this super hyper environmental age, all over the country, the restrictions on burning dirty coal full of mercury have been taken off. I mean, you could see the mercury in dirty coal. That's why it's shiny and has that glistening glass look on the black surface. That's pure mercury. They just burn that stuff and shoot it up in the sky. Texas supplies more coal power than any other state to, you know, period, and it's to surrounding states. And I got to breathe this. My children have got to breathe it. Do the environmentalists care? Absolutely not. They don't know anything about it. They're running around with carbon pass stickers on their car, voluntarily paying world taxes already, like complete morons. All right, I said I'd cover Stacks of News, and I'm just not doing it. Because I just start thinking about this, and I meant to bring that, the last 3 days, I meant to bring that almanac in, and on the document cam in the fourth hour, show it to everybody. And show everybody what is inside of it. And it just like go over oil and how it all works. But they're not stopping. They're taking the uranium and using it all over the U.S., all over the world. They are taking, and all their official studies said it'll kill you deader than a hammer. It's deadly and it's horrible. And just in the mid-90s, they said, it's no longer bad. We just say so. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The elite have gone crazy. Almost 1,000 deaths this year in one border town on Texas. And last time I checked, it's more than 10 cities fly Mexican flags, no American flags, at the courthouses, at the city buildings. And there's signs posted, basically, gringos not allowed. And it's been on CNN one time, and CNN basically said it was good. They talked about El Cenizo. And I'm not against these Mexicans. They don't like me. I'm not talking about Mexicans that are Americans. I'm talking about, and that's why a lot of my Mexican friends and Mexicans come up to me on the street and shake my hand and go, yeah, I speak Spanish, I listen to the radio, you're telling the truth. And what does it even matter? They're poisoning everything. They're hurting everybody, no matter what color you are. And we've got this war going on over drugs, and it's not even in the mainstream media. U.S. cancels Russian nuclear deal. That was the story. U.S. nuclear waste in Russia. Also, their nuclear-powered cruiser, the Peter the Great, is heading to the Caribbean for the first naval exercises since the end of the Cold War. Russia to base nuclear warship and anti-submarine aircraft in Venezuela. It's all kicked back off. It's got nuclear weapons, missiles, cruise missiles on board. Indiana high school purse ban rankles students. And they just say you're basically prisoners. You are not allowed to have any type of purse or container. You're prisoners. It's basically hands up. You don't have a book bag. You don't have anything. Hands up. It's for your safety. And they go over all of that. That's all the public schools are. I mean, you send your children to public schools. We have the official government documents. We've had the experts on. We've covered it. We've published them. Where they say it's to break up the family, train the children to tattle on their parents. In fact, I've got another one here that was in my stack about how all over the country the police are paying kids to use their instant text messages to spy on their parents, to spy at school, to spy on everyone. And the police then mail you a check. Where is that? It's up on Drudge Report right now. I sent it to my guys. I mean, it's just the Stasi. Good story by the People's Voice. The Continental Government Project gets into how we're under martial law up on InfoWars.com. Got a lot of other news I haven't even gotten to yet. We're going to cover when we get back. Stay with me, ladies and gentlemen. The resistance to tyranny and truth will continue. We'll resist tyranny and put the truth out to the end. We're going to have Dr. Stan Monteith on with us for an hour and a half. Getting into eugenics, how they're exterminating us, all the documents. That includes you that serve the system. You are under the same gun. But when Monteith leaves us, I'm going to play some of this Italian national television documentary. And it's got the official Iraqi hospital heads talking about, you know, these tanks with these weapons arrays on top, firing out these bolts of lightning that fry and melt everything. It's terror weapons. It's not precision. It's not what real infantry needs. It's all part of terror, freaking people out. But here's a little clip of a newscast going back about 4.5 years ago with General Myers and Rumsfeld, where they're talking about it. And you ought to see the video. It's in the story that Paul Watson wrote about the headline, "What is the Pentagon's new secret weapon?" Here it is.
Try weapons that have never been used before. And the questions from the press about direct energy and microwave weapons made them visibly uncomfortable.
Can I ask you a question about some of the technology that you're developing to fight the war on terror, specifically directed energy and high-powered microwave technology? When do you envision that you can weaponize that type of technology?
It is in, for the most part, the kinds of things you're talking about are in very early stages.
Hit pause. For the most part. I mean, they are just lying the whole time. And then they admit at the end, General Franks, this is right when he was, again, still in there in the first year of the invasion. I guess almost 5 years ago. He says he is, you know, using these things. We are testing them before they're ready. You know, they're it's a laboratory. Here it is.
Do you want to give anything you'd add?
I don't think I would add much. I think they are in early stages and probably not ready for employment at this point.
In the normal order of things, when you invest in research and development and begin a developmental project, you don't have any intention or expectations that one would use it. On the other hand, the real world intervenes from time to time, and you reach in there and take something out that is still in a developmental stage, and you might use it. So your question's not answerable. It depends on what happens in the future and how well things move along the track and whether or not someone feels it's appropriate to reach into a development stage and see if something might be useful, as was the case with the unmanned aerial vehicles.
But you sound like you're willing to experiment.
I think that's the point. And I think, and it's, we have, I think, from the beginning of this conflict, I think General Franks has been very open to looking at new things if there are new things available, and has been willing to put him into the fight, even
okay.
Before he's been bullied.
I'm going to play like 20 minutes of this coming up on an hour and a half from now. I'm going to analyze it and also take calls specifically. If you're in the military and you can specifically say what this Manhattan Project level new development is, we know it's the microwave guns and the particle beams. And that's described on Italian TV. I mean, they just cut crowds in half, women and children. And we notice they keep using these on crowds. This is to terrorize. This is a terror weapon for psychological, you know, to demoralize people. They can do the same thing with one cluster bomb. It's a terror weapon. That's why they have our military sit off the road and just mow women and children down driving in their cars on video. Because it's about letting them know, you're scum, you're slaves, we're going to kill you. Just like Private Gruckheimer came back and said, yeah, we go into villages and kill even the newborn babies. And the Pentagon came out and said, well, we want to clarify, only in certain villages do we kill the babies too. They walk right up, stick a gun to the baby's head, and blow it off. Now, a lot of those guys have come back and they're cops right now. And you want me to respect them and love them? No. I don't respect a government that tortures children. I don't respect a government that blows babies' heads off. You can go to hell.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Dr. Stan Monteith coming up after the break. National Iranian Television, their English service, international. Press TV has been going on there in T-minus 3 hours. So, Aaron Dykes, first to go, last to know, Aaron. You're going to be sitting in with my guest in the fourth hour today. Hey, Aaron Dykes, come on in here. He doesn't even hear me. He has headphones on. Now he's coming. Aaron will hear after you heard. Hey, are you game to host the show the last 30 minutes today?
Sure.
You'll do a great job. Just relax. It's no big deal. Because I've got Richard C. Cook, that historian and economist, on for an hour, and Press TV is putting me live on international Iranian television at 3:07. And so I need you to come in here and do this for us. And they now are telling me they want me to be... I've really got to gauge this and think about this, because I can easily be cast as a Tokyo Rose or something doing this. But you see, the people that run our government, they're the ones that are anti-American. They're the ones overthrowing our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, our way of life, our republic, our bill, our Constitution, everything else. So they have to be resisted. I want our country back. And that's what I said on Russian TV. That's what I'm going to say on Iranian TV. And explain that. We basically have hijackers in this country, and we need to have those hijackers removed. And I'm doing the world and the American people a favor going on shows like this, because we don't want a war that will jack up the prices of oil and everything else, just to say the least. So we will be doing that today. That should be interesting. They say they want me on there routinely. I don't know. I'm going to do it this once, and I'm going to think about it, because the public is just too stupid to... By stupid, too uninformed, too, and not nuanced enough to even understand that. But, see, the thing about Press TV is it's on a bunch of cable systems worldwide. It's the Iranian propaganda channel. It's not even for the Iranians. And that's why it's so effective to go on there, because in the U.S. it's on a lot of cable systems, British TV, German, Dutch, Japanese. I mean, it's worldwide. And so by going on there, I can put out an anti-New World Order message and a message of solidarity, and let them know the American people do not want to attack them. And I'll ask the Iranians to please just... I'm going to say on Iranian TV that they should allow Israel and the U.S. to just go ahead and attack them. Imagine if they didn't fight back. That would truly discredit the New World Order, the people that have hijacked the United States, and that will launch that attack. If they just... The problem is the globalists that have hijacked our country will probably just stage terror attacks and say Iran did it. Oh, God, there's no way to win with these people. They've got every angle covered. The only way to win is for the cattle to stop being cattle and to see how they're being played and manipulated. I mean, we know what we're talking about on this show, folks. On this radio program, we broke down the fact that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac would be going under years ago. I mean, I was talking about that. I had guests on about that 8-9 years ago, before 9/11. because it was designed to be a Ponzi scheme. We had people on, like Catherine Austin Fitz, who was one of the top people in the Clinton administration in HUD, saying that was the plan. I want to get her back on, by the way. I mean, we really know what we're talking about. This isn't our opinion, you know, and everybody's got one. We know what's going on in the world. We know who the power players are. By the way, it's not hard to know. They state in real government documents and think tank documents what's really happening. They just tell the public a fantasy land. George Bush runs something. John McCain, he'll save us. Barack Obama will save us. Total theater. We'll be right back with Dr. Stan Monti.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We had him on last week for about 50 minutes, but that was not enough time to go over all the evidence. He has been fighting the New World Order for many decades. He is a surgeon, a medical doctor. He is an icon in the movement for liberty and freedom. He's also a Christian. And he's a syndicated radio talk show host both on AM and FM stations in some of the biggest cities in the United States and global shortwave. And he's a talk show host right here on the GCN Radio Network. So we're very honored to have him with us for the next hour and a half or so. And I'm really going to try to control myself and not back him up. See, it sounds like I'm showing off when he says something and then I interrupt and throw out five or six facts backing him up. It's that I want people listening. I want to second him. You're like, amen, brother. I want to back up what he's saying. I want to add evidence. But I'm getting better, not perfect, at letting folks just run themselves. But from time to time, I will stop him and add points or take him in different directions. But I want to get into the mindset of the New World Order. I want to get into what we know of as eugenics. From my findings, it's now the overarching directive of everything in society. It's where social workers came from. It's how the society is run. The UN's biological diversity assessments say they want to kill 80% of us. I want to get into the population reduction because that's the end game in all of this. Pun intended, my film Endgame. And then I want him to be able to really get into, he was mentioning congressional hearings and government studies, and we kind of sped over that about, they don't just put fluoride in the water, they put heavy metals. They put it on our lawns, with yard fertilizer, all of it. And they know what it's doing, and we have government documents where they wanted to put it in the water to dumb us down. We know that they're mass medicating, the New Freedom Initiative, this taking control of the human development, dumbing us down, this playing God. And so that's what I want Dr. Monteith, because he's an expert on so many fields, but particularly this one and soft kill weapons like HIV and government programs. And he's one of the guys going back 20 plus years ago who really exposed that AIDS was a government operation. He has the declassified government documents. He has the proof. And we'll talk about that and a host of other issues, Crohn's disease tied in with the vaccines, all of it. And he is a medical doctor. So, Dr. Stan Monteith, thank you so much for coming on with us.
It's always a pleasure, and I don't mind when you interrupt.
No, I know, but I want you to be able to go over your evidence and documentation. I know, but I'm just explaining why I jump in, because everything you're saying is so true, and then there's a whole depth of knowledge on each little point you get to, which I know you have the knowledge, others have it, but I don't think their listeners realize we're not joking. This is a fact. So, Dr. Monteith, wherever you want to start, you've heard some of the basic issues I want to talk about.
Well, if we're going to get into population control, which I think is the common denominator behind so much of what's going on today, and there are all other explanations that are given. They are selling vaccines because they want to make money, and that's true. But there is a small component working within organized medicine, working within the CDC, working within the FDA, who are dedicated to population control, and they know the deadly influence of the vaccines and the thimerosal in the vaccines, for instance, we're giving to children in third world countries. isn't it interesting that we took the vaccine out of the childhood vaccine, took the thimerosal or mercury out of the childhood vaccines we give here in the United States, but we left the thimerosal in the vaccines we're giving to the little black and brown children in third world nations. Of course, we give it to them free because we want to help them. We want to prevent them from dying of these childhood diseases. The problem is that the thimerosal influences fertility. And in animal studies, it shows it will influence fertility not only in this generation, but in subsequent generations. And we have a wonderful interview with Dr. David Ayoub, who's researched this. We have a DVD, but we also get a free CD-ROM with literally thousands of pages showing that the government knows there is toxicity in the mercury that they're putting in the childhood vaccines given in third world countries and how it impacts on fertility.
Now, Doctor, isn't mercury one of the first really studied heavy metals, and they knew all this over 100 years ago?
Of course it is. In fact, when I first went into medicine, why we used to, you know, paint the skin with methylate or mercurochrome. It was an orange-colored substance. And then one day, why we couldn't buy it anymore. Of course, I didn't know why we couldn't buy it. I was in practice, didn't have time to read all the literature. But the Federal Drug Administration determined that the methylate and mercurochrome you put on the skin could be absorbed into the body and was toxic. So it was too toxic to paint on the skin, but it was perfectly all right to inject into our children, and we're still, of course, injecting it into the children in third world countries. But, of course, the great game that they play here in the United States is they tell parents, why, we've removed the thimerosal, we've removed the mercury from childhood vaccines. But what they don't mention is that is from the childhood vaccines given for childhood diseases, but they left it in the vaccines that are given to children. Their play on words. And of course, it's immediately when they outlawed it in childhood vaccines, they introduced it in the influenza vaccine, and they mandated that this be given to pregnant women in the first trimester of pregnancy when it would do the maximum amount of damage. And they sold the obstetricians on that, and then they mandated it be given to children at 6 months of age and 1 month of age, and up to the time that they're 5 years of age, with a full dose of mercury in it, and they knew what they were doing, and I believe that they did this because they knew that the incidence of autism would start to fall in this country when they took mercury out of the childhood vaccines. So they introduced it to other vaccines they give to children, and the parents don't know, and the doctors don't know, and they're destroying the lives and minds of our children.
Well, Doctor, that's a perfect example, of compartmentalization. I've been at the hospital, you know, having children, my wife having children. I've talked to countless others, and they'll say, I'm not taking that shot, it's got mercury. And they'll say, that was taken out. And then they'll demand the nurse or doctor bring the little insert over, and it says the thimerosal, and the nurse or doctor will say, I'll be. So, I mean, the doctors themselves and the nurses, they're not infallible.
And they just don't know. Alex, you know, I practiced medicine for, you know, 40 years, and I know you don't have time to read the labels, the inserts. You don't have time to read the medical journals where so much of this is covered, but the information is there, and that we're going to have to educate the people so they can educate the doctors, and they can realize that they can't believe their leaders, they can't believe the public health service, they can't believe the CDC, because there are people there who have a different agenda. Some of them are bought off by the vaccine manufacturers, I'm sure.
But most of them are just compartmentalized.
Right, and this is the problem we face. And we are under attack from so many points of view. In fact, just recently here in the Monterey Bay area, in the San Francisco Bay area close to where I live, the Public Health Service has now said that the major source of mercury in the San Francisco Bay that's getting into the fish there is coming from the dental offices where they're taking out cavities, where they're either putting in fillings, they're putting in fillings or they're taking out fillings, and they're going to demand that all the dentists there actually have a special filter to take the mercury out of the water before it's dumped into the bay. And the dentists are up in arms saying, why, you know, there's no harm at all from fillings. And, of course, there's harm from fillings. It's all in most of the countries in the rest of the world, in Sweden, for instance, the government, which provides provides free dental care will not pay for a mercury filling because they know how toxic they are. And almost half the dentists in the United States have quit using mercury in the fillings because they know, but they can't come forward and tell the American people that they've been poisoning us. And when they put that filling in, it does not, it is not inert. It actually, every time you chew or every time you actually drink something hot, it'll vent the mercury. These studies have been done in animals. That mercury tag, mercury goes right into the brain. And what we're doing is poisoning the American people, and they've been doing it for 60 years. 100 years ago, American dentists would not use mercury in their fillings. And they organized the American Dental Association so that the doctors who were committing this terrible crime against the public would have an organization. And then eventually, of course, they simply got into the dental schools. They convinced everybody that the mercury fillings were perfectly safe, and they're not. And you can go up, certainly, onto the Internet and just Google in things like toxic teeth, and or you can contact us. We've got videos that will show you that if they take a tooth out that has a filling in it and they heat that tooth up to the point you would have it, you know, if somebody was drinking coffee, and you could actually see the mercury films venting off of that.
Now, Dr. Monteith,
all my mercury fillings out, and everybody should have their fillings out, but they shouldn't go to a regular dentist because most of the dentists don't understand it. I've talked to people who've been permanently damaged from getting their mercury fillings out because they got mercury toxicity.
Yeah, that's when you really get it, is when they take it out, because then right. A large amount of it vents. We've got a break. When we come back, let's continue walking through these different areas. But studying the history of eugenics, by the 1850s, they took over the burgeoning health service. They founded the social workers. And as you said, they put key people in positions of power everywhere to carry this out. Then they produced false literature and propaganda to sell the doctors and the dentists and the scientists below them that everything is fine and dandy. So that's the important thing to mention here. But when you read eugenicist documents, not just the positive and negative side of eugenics, to use their terms, but the hidden side of eugenics, they say that they are going to alter the DNA, alter the genetics, basically sterilize the suboid mass down to a, quote, new species. And now we find the mercury and other chemicals are indeed doing that, as you said, damaging the DNA, damaging fertility, generation by generation. Get into why Keith Olbermann was fired.
I'll take my chances on you.
Fired from the political coverage. They played this disgusting tribute going, Iran attacked us on 9/11. I'm showing Iranian flags. They hit us. They think they're going to win the war, but we are. Basically a big shell for World War III. And Olbermann just came back and said, if any other party or anybody else used that propaganda that way, they would be in big trouble. And he said, I want to distance myself from that. There's no doubt he's a 9/11 truther. In fact, I've talked to people close to his staff. But I'm just going to leave it at that. That's coming up later. Dr. Monteith, continuing. I want to get into AIDS. I want to get into sodium fluoride. You went over the fact that it's come out that there's five times the mercury and lead and things in blacks and inner cities. They put it in the water supply. That's even come out and been admitted. I mean, people don't realize the magnitude. But should we first get into the UN's agenda, the stated documents about, well, I've got a UN biological diversity assessment where they talk about how they need to use human sacrifice to keep our numbers down. Folks, you can't make this type stuff up. I mean, I know it sounds crazy. It is crazy. I mean, who could make up Dr. Pianca at UT saying kill 90% of the people and getting standing ovations, and then he's on the UT website dressed in druid robes saying, you know, I love Lucifer. I mean, you can't make this up. Go ahead.
Well, the whole story is just so incredible. But where should we start? Would you like to start with fluoride? Because water fluoridation is one of the most diabolical things that they've ever come up
with. Yeah, let's spend a lot of time on that, then get into source documents, information quotes about the population reduction. They're open statements, not just where they're doing it, but they're open statements. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, one of the favorite ones certainly was a Dr. Sam Keane. And then there was a conference, a Gorbachev State of the World Conference in 1995 held up at the Santa Clara area, and that Sam Keane got up and talked about that. Well, here's what he said. We have the exact quotation because they were good enough to actually record it, and my friend Barrett Shows has the tapes. We must speak far more clearly about sexuality, contraception, about abortion, about values that control the population, because the ecological crisis, in short, is the population crisis. Cut the population by 90%, and there aren't enough people left to do a great deal of ecological damage. And of course, his remarks were met with applause from the audience. I mean, it's incredible there are people who feel this way. Dr. Sam Keane subsequently died, and of course, it corroborates exactly what your professor there from the University of Texas said. There really are people who want to eliminate most of the world's population. I know you've used the quotation from Jacques Cousteau about the necessity of eliminating 350,000 people a day. And we actually have copies of the UNESCO Courier in 1991 where that quote comes from. We make that available to anybody who wants to contact us. People have to actually get this material and hold it in their hands to realize what we're really up against. Well, let's get on into water fluoridation, because it's certainly one of the most diabolical things ever conceived.
Sure, and Doctor, you're very soft-spoken. Speak up a bit for us, but go ahead.
Oh, all right. I was talking about water fluoridation, because water fluoridation is one of the most diabolical things they ever come up with. And the idea that if you look at the statistics that this actually helps children's teeth is a frank lie. In fact, after 50 years, and this was basically introduced back about 1950, after almost 50 years, the American Dental Association came out and admitted that there really wasn't an awful lot of difference between communities where the children had, water fluoridation and where they didn't have water
fluoridation.
Stop
right there. We're about to break. We're going to have time to get into that, but I want to stop you. So my dad is a dentist. He wasn't convinced of this a decade ago. He actually looked at it and was shocked, just like the head dentist in Canada who got the country to fluoridate now admits that he didn't know that it was fluoride with toxic waste mixed in. But there was one difference. It actually was worse for the teeth in the federal studies, which you're about to cover. I just want to back you up, because it gives them dental fluorosis and causes the teeth to be brittle. Go ahead.
Well, that's exactly what it's all about. And actually, we have a syllabus. It's called The Hidden Agenda, where we actually show you the government studies on this. And the CDC, has actually come out and said that ingestion of the fluoridated water doesn't do any good. The fluoride acts locally, and of course what it does, it kills the bacteria.
Stay there, doctor. We'll be back. Long segment coming up. We'll detail it all. Living on the road, my friend.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean. Now you wear your skin like iron, and your breath is hard as kerosene. Weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seemed. She began to cry when you said goodbye. Sank into your dream. Was a bandit boy.
Monday through Friday, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time,
for all the honest world to feel.
We're here.
Well, Poncho Matt is Matt, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico.
Yeah, we all meet our match.
Nobody heard his dying word.
Wise man knows that.
Oh, but that's the way it goes.
We're going to go back to Dr. Stan Monteith here in just a moment.
All the Federalists say,
as we reach this halfway point in the worldwide broadcast today,
they only let him slip away.
I want to remind you that I have put out two new 9/11 films. I produced both of them, directed Truth Rising. Jason Burmes' directorial debut is Fabled Enemies. Gets into how the different Western intelligence agencies carried out the attacks, Pakistani intelligence, Israeli, British, U.S. together. They're all equally as guilty. Fools think that if you cover everyone's involvement, just covering the facts, that if five guys rob a bank, it's the same as if one guy robs it. All equally as guilty. It's an amazing film, very, very important. Fabled Enemies, Truth Rising. Just go read the descriptions at InfoWars.com. Order the DVD via the Safe Secure Online Video and Bookstore Shopping Cart, or call toll-free to get a copy of Endgame, Terror Storm Director's Cut, Loose Change Final Cut, my Police State Trilogy, My Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, Order of Death DVD Combo, two films on one DVD. You can get my films as low as $5.95 a piece. I just want to move them out the door. Check out the specials. Our goal is simply to educate people and wake them up, because we have no future if we don't turn things around and face the full horror. And that's one thing the New World Order has going for it, is the sheer scientifically coordinated magnitude and the dedication of the enemy. And the fact that it's so horrible, the average person comes into contact with something, as J. Edgar Hoover said, a conspiracy so monstrous that they just can't comprehend it. What Dr. Monteith is telling you is not his opinion. In fact, he's very, the word isn't neurotic, but I'm pretty neurotic about documenting. He's even more stringent. In fact, when I'm on his show, he does the same thing I do. He'll go, let me just stop you and read that document. And I don't know how he ever has it all at his fingertips. But the bottom line is, you need to get our books, get our videos, get our films, get them at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.tv membership. Burn copies of the films to disc at PrisonPlanet.tv. That's having an effect. That's turning the tide. We're not going to win this thing, A, if we don't ask God for guidance, but B, the other half of the equation is trust in God, but tie up your camel, the old Bedouin saying. It is up to you to take action. And we are having an effect. People are awakening like never before. Dr. Monteith, I want to get into fluoride in detail now, but first, A, have you ever seen such an awakening happening so fast? B,
no.
Comment on the fact that it's so monstrous, the average person has trouble getting their mind around it. Go ahead.
Well, I've been at this for 46 years now, and I'm more encouraged than I've ever been before, because there really is an awakening. And then, of course, as the economy contracts, as they expand the police state powers here in the United States, as we get into a war over the Middle East, and I don't know what is going to come, but there's no question at all that we're planning on getting into a war with the Muslim world, because we've been actually sending the technology to Pakistan so they could develop their nuclear weapons and give it to their Muslim allies. And we're looking at a nuclear war. When these things begin to come to pass, people are going to say, how did it happen? And they're going to remember what they heard you say and what they heard the other people in alternative media say, and they're going to begin to realize the true nature of the evil that has seized control of our government. So don't despair out there in the listening audience. Be encouraged. Things are going to get a lot worse before they get better. But when things get worse, people are going to begin asking why. And I hope Alex is going to be there to give you the answers.
Well, I forget who said it, but adversity, I think it was a Roman philosopher. Was it Cicero? Adversity and tribulation makes men. Plenty makes monsters. And that's a fact.
I have no question at all. I think it's absolutely true. Affluence is the great curse of this nation. We have it so good, we don't think we could ever have it bad. And only when things get bad are people going to begin to look for the cause.
Absolutely. Okay. Getting into fluoride, continue.
Well, fluoride basically was sold to the American people because it was going to help children from getting cavities in their teeth. And who could be in favor of that? And they sold this lie to the dentist. They sold this to the American people. They've sold it to communities across the country. Right now, about 68% of our communities are fluoridated, and 95% of the communities that fluoridate their water don't simply put in sodium fluoride. They had hydrofluosilicic acid, which contains fluoride and lead and arsenic and polonium-220. Why would you put that into the water? It is so, well, the reason is, of course, it's so toxic. You can't put it into the rivers. It would be illegal. You can't dump it in the ocean. So what they're doing is they're putting it in our drinking water.
Now, I want to stop you. The magnitude. For those that don't believe me, there's cops laughing right now. They think it's because their minds, they got rot holes in it. There's yuppies laughing. Ha, ha, ha. You know, this guy isn't a medical doctor. Yes, he is. This isn't true. I've had former EPA head poison, you know, experts, doctors on, you know, top, you know, on saying, yes, it's true. They, even though they worked there, they never believed it till they looked. They would put someone in prison for putting this in the same amount in a river, but the government does it in the drinking supplies. Tell them the names again so they can write them down. Your lives depend on this. Take the smile off your face. Write it down. Check it out. Go ahead.
Well, it's called hydrofluosilicic acid, and it has fluoride, about 50% fluoride. It has lead, arsenic, and polonium-220 in it. And for those who really want to get the information, you go to the website of the doctors who work for the EPA, the scientists, the engineers who work for the EPA. They have a website. It's NTEU280.org. That's National Transportation Employees Union, NTEU280.org. Go to their website. They're trying to get the information out that the government is poisoning the American people.
That's right. Let me stop you again. We always hear that if it was true that the government did this or that, people blow the whistle. You couldn't hide it. The majority of EPA scientists and doctors have been screaming bloody murder for decades, but the directive from the top says no. So their own union, we've had the head on here, as a toxicologist, this is all a fact. You don't think they're not freaked out? They got children, too. Go ahead, doctor.
Well, it's NTEU280.org. Go to that website. And then, of course, there's fluoridealert.org. That's fluoridealert.org, put up by a professor of chemistry, Paul Connett, we've had on many times. And all you need to do is read the scientific studies. They're readily available. We have them in a syllabus we put out called The Hidden Agenda. From the journal Fluoride, they gave us permission just to go ahead and print their abstracts. And we wonder why so many men have erectile dysfunction. Why? Because, of course, the fluoride in the water decreases the testosterone levels, and it decreases the sperm count, and it makes women have difficulty getting pregnant, and the pregnancy rates are down considerably in areas with
fluoridated water. And when the female hormones go down, then they're not sexually energized, then the man and the woman, the marriages fail. I mean, we're supposed to be filled with energy, folks, not just zombieing around.
And the information is there. I mean, certainly if we give you all the abstracts from the journal Fluoride in our syllabus called Hidden Agenda. People must understand they're poisoning us. So let's start at the very beginning. Water fluoridation decreases fertility by attacking the woman's hormonal status, by lowering the testosterone in the man, by actually lowering the sperm count in men. They know these things. These are scientifically determined from the journal Fluoride, and of course all the references are in my syllabus. And then, of course, it lowers intelligence. It lowers intelligence somewhere between 5 and 10 degrees on the IQ. And of course, if you've got a child with an IQ of 170 and you lower it to 160, nobody's ever known. What happens if you have a child with an IQ of 80 and you lower it to 70? And of course, there have been extensive studies on this in China and other countries. Fluoride lowers intelligence. And of course, that's one reason why the Nazis put this into the water supply in the occupied areas of during the Second World War, and why the communists added fluoride to the water in the gulag, because, of course, they wanted to lower the intelligence and lower the aggressiveness of people and their willingness to respond. And they sort of became sort of like zombies. They were unconcerned about what was going on. And then, of course, fluoride increases the incidence of cancer. There's studies that definitely show that it increases the incidence of osteogenic sarcomas in boys.
Especially in boys, isn't it?
Right.
The bone cancer. Why do so many things like mercury and fluoride and things attack men worse than women? Other medical doctors have told me it's just the bottom line thing they've known for thousands of years. Women are more hardy on average and have stronger toxicity load capacities, blood-brain barriers associated with our engineering by the Creator, because women have to go through childbirth?
I think that's it. I think God designed women actually to be able to resist disease longer than men. You know, they live 5 or 6 years on average longer than men do. And part of it is because, of course, they lose iron every month. They're much healthier because they lose iron. When you have too much iron in your system, why you become more susceptible to both cancer and infections. And God designed it to protect women because they have a monthly period and they lose iron and other toxins at that time. So, and this is why, of course, many, you know, 2 or 3 centuries ago, men used to get blood because, pardon me, they were bled. They would actually go to the barber shop. Remember those barber poles with the red and white on them? Because the barbers were the bleeders.
And by the way, they're bringing leeches and bleeding back. Of course, you're a medical doctor, but that's in the major journals. They're now finding there's something to being bled.
There absolutely is. The iron is what gets us into all sorts of problems. And we have too much iron, and it predisposes both diseases, infections, and, of course, to cancer. But let's get back to the fluoride. Of course, there was Dr. Dean Burke. I talked to him before he died. He was chief of the chemotherapy at the National Cancer Institute. He was there for 30 years doing research. And in the studies they did, comparing communities with fluoridated water and those with non-fluoridated water, why there was about 40% more cancer in the areas where they had fluoridated water than the areas where you had unfluoridated water. And, you know, because if you look at what's happened to the incidence of cancer, back at the beginning of the last century, in the early 1900s, why, of course, 1 in 33 people got cancer. Today, 1 in 2 men, 1 in 3 women get cancer. Then, of course, it's much more than water fluoridation, it's the vaccines, it's the fluoride, it's the mercury, it's the aspartame, it's so many, it's the other products that we are given that they know are decrease immunity, and of course, when they lower our immune response, we become much more susceptible to cancer.
And let's be clear, though, going back to fluoride before we move on, it is in one famous Pulitzer Prize-winning book on World War II, that the Soviets and the Germans did it. They knew, of course, with mercury, with fluoride, because they had so many spills of it in the Industrial Revolution, it had been heavily studied, and these are in all the documents, so they knew what these were doing. They knew that even if you don't drink water with fluoride, if it's sprayed on crops, it goes through the skin, gets into the cell walls of the plant. They know that when you wash in it, it absorbs through the skin, and they brag. This is the ultimate chemical weapon because the particles are so small that most filters, most systems cannot stop it. So even if you're drinking filtered water that doesn't have it in it, you are still getting it. It is just so diabolical. And understand, it is a fact. They put it in there. That's why IQs have dropped in the U.S. That's why all these diseases have gone up, as Dr. Monteith is saying. I just don't want to glaze over earth-shaking information he is giving you. And look, you can hate me, police. You can hate me, military. I know most military actually loves me. You can hate me, but I love you. Even though I get mad at you, I'm telling you, this is real. You owe it to yourself and your family to not believe me, but to check it out. And you're going to find out it's all true and worse than we could even describe. I mean, Dr. Monteith, we have so much knowledge on this subject because we eat, drink, and sleep this. You for 40-something years, me for 15, on air 13. The frustration they hear in the energy is because we're not giving them 1/10. We can't. There's too much. Do you agree with that statement?
I agree with you totally. I mean, the story is so fantastic. You know, I sometimes find it hard to believe, and yet I know it's true because, you know, we have the scientific studies that go into the background. Certainly, what they've done with iodine, I mean, we used to have all of our salt was iodized to protect us and protect our thyroid. Well, they've taken the iodine about out of about half the salt. It used to be in our bread. It used to be in our milk. They've taken it out there. And so if you, and most people are deficient in iodine. Now, why is, what does that have to do with the fluoride? Well, very simply, because when you fluoridate the water, and we should never be taking fluoride, there's no safe level of fluoride. Now the fluoride competes with the iodine to get it into the thyroid gland. And this is one reason why many people are having thyroid problems.
Calcification, it attacks all the glands.
Right, and specifically the thyroid, and because most people are deficient in iodine, then the fluoride gets in there and, of course, destroys the function of the thyroid. And we have literally tens of millions of Americans who are hypothyroid here in the United States.
Yeah, let's
today.
Be clear. The iodine, and you're a medical doctor, correct me if I'm wrong, resides in high concentrations naturally in the thyroid, involved in its metabolic relay and system, and then regulating the rest of the hormones or large sections of the different endocrine system, if that's correct. And so then what happens is they, on purpose, take the iodine out, knowing it was blocking their movement to insert the fluoride. So there you have them caught red-handed again. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And the thing is, most people don't understand that most Americans are deficient in iodine. Because the fluoride they're putting into our water for ability to attack us. The thyroid gland and produce illness and hypothyroidism.
Stay there, sir. Stay there. We're going to come back and more into this with Dr. Monteith, RadioLiberty.com. Just a program note, we're getting all these phone calls asking what the big Ron Paul announcement was today. Well, if you tuned in yesterday here, you would have heard what the big announcement was before it was made. I didn't have any inside sources, I just knew what it would be. A press conference with other third-party candidates saying he wants to throw the Ron Paul revolution behind the Libertarian Party, behind the Constitution Party, and Bob Barr snubbed him and didn't show up. Bob Barr, man. A lot of you are getting sucker punched by him. That guy is not trustworthy. NRA board member, gun grabber. People are going, wait, I thought he's pro-gun. NRA is a gun control group meant to pacify gun owners. And I've just had it with Barr, Mr. CIA. So we told you here first what the big announcement was. There it was. Going back to Dr. Stan Monteith, RadioLiberty.com, great radio broadcaster in his own right, documentary filmmaker, author. We'll tell you how to get his book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, before he leaves us today. Okay, continuing with the discussion, I want to just throw a preemption out here. Because, folks, I know how you've been preconditioned. When we talk about going from 1 in 33 with cancer to 1 in 2, that's official government numbers, or when we talk about how they're poisoning us and killing us by design for population control, and so they don't have to pay out Social Security, people say, but we live longer. We live longer. Women live to 77, and women and men live to 75. You ever been to an old cemetery? But I've pulled the actual numbers and seen the statistics on this. You ever been to an old cemetery? We got a family cemetery in East Texas. About half of them in there are under the age of 5. Half the graves in there are children. Now, if you made it past 10, had your immune system, beat all those bugs, you were tough stuff, and then you'd see everybody living to 75, 80, 90, 100. I had a great-grandmother lived to be 103. My wife's great-grandfather was the guy on Johnny Carson, the Kansas farmer. He lived, I think, 109. The point is, there were lots of 100-year-olds just everywhere. Now, Dr. Monteith, of course, knows those statistics as well. So, see, they average the fact that there was high infant mortality and high levels of children dying into the larger number to claim people only lived to be, you know, 65 or 60. Or in the time of the founding fathers, infant mortality was more like 50%, you know, by the time they hit 3. So they say, oh, people only lived to be 40. Well, no, the average was about 81. and I've seen the studies on this in the 1770s, 1780s, and 90s, if you made it past 10. Correct, Dr. Monteef?
Well, certainly we've, absolutely, we have a much lower infant mortality now. Our children are living, and of course, now we have antibiotics, and certainly many, many things have done prolong the longevity of our people. But of course, if you look at the world statistics, America is about 40th as far as longevity is concerned, and the average American has never heard that. People in other countries like Japan live a lot, I shouldn't say a lot longer, but several years longer than they live here in the United States. And many other countries have a higher longevity than we do in the United States. And it partly is because we have so many people die of cancer, and they're dying unnecessarily because of the things that they're doing to us. But it's all about population control. In fact, we have a wonderful four-tape set. It's an interview with the Dr. Dunnigan, who back in 1969 heard Dr. Richard Dame, who subsequently gone to his unjust reward. But at that time, he was the medical director of Planned Parenthood, who talked to a group of doctors in 1969 saying, look, there's too many people in the world. They're going to have to die of something. We're going to withhold the treatments for cancer. We're going to create new diseases.
Stay there. I want to talk about holding back treatments for cancer with Dr. Stan Monteef.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Dr. Monteef is bringing up the global population reduction agenda. You got any major scientific conference where Peter Singer, Bianca, others are speaking, they'll say we need to exterminate 90% and they get standing ovations. That is the majority view. That is what the elite believes. That is, it is common sense to them. And you'll have people on the street, you know, that come up to me and go, yeah, I've heard you talk bad about reducing the numbers, but we have to for the earth. And I'm like, okay, well, you go jump off a cliff first. And they're also suppressing a lot of treatments that you could call cures, but certainly they are suppressing a lot of things that they know really work. Dr. Monteef?
Absolutely. And they have treatments for cancer. They have many other countries you can go. You can't get them here in this country. But they're doing so many things to us in the way of poisoning us and decreasing our immune response. And that's why the cancer is exploding in this country. And they know exactly what they're doing, but they cannot let the American people know. And the average person says nothing could be that evil. Yet, unfortunately, it is. Anybody can get our four-tape set on the New Order of the Barbarians, and it will simply blow your mind. It's one of the most powerful four-tape sets we have. So vitally important. People understand that this Dr. Dave was talking about how they were going to create new diseases and withhold treatments for cancer. These people are going to have to die of something. And there really are people out there who feel exactly that way. They are just totally evil.
Please continue, Dr. Monteef, with the overarching plan of population reduction.
Well, we were talking about water fluoridation. Let's just finish that up because I think it's so vitally important. First of all, scientific studies show that in areas where you fluoridate the water, the incidence of hip fractures in postmenopausal women almost doubles. In other words, twice as many women who are postmenopausal will fracture the hips as in comparable areas where they don't fluoridate the water. And, of course, many times after women have fractured hips, they'll die. But if you believe in population control, how can you object to that? They know these things, and they're allowing them to happen. In the original studies that were done comparing two communities, one with fluoridated water and the other without fluoridated water, the one thing they did notice at that time was the girls started menstruating about 6 months earlier. Now, this was only a five-year study. Of course, as time has gone by, I'm sure that we note today that girls are getting their secondary sexual characteristics, and they're getting them, you know, at ever younger ages. Now, you've got girls 6 and 7 years of age beginning to develop breasts and to menstruate. And this is because of the disruption of their endocrine function And much of this is related to water fluoridation.
And then you slap on top of that all of the hormones in the chicken, the pork, the beef. And what do the doctors say when they bring three-year-olds now, about the thousands in the U.S., coming who are menstruating, going into puberty at 3 years of age? No wonder they get breast cancer when they're 20, and everything's been accelerated. They're basically on steroids. They then come in and say, oh, we want to give you hormone injections to suppress that. Then they basically burn out their entire endocrine system and get like Cushing's disorder.
Well, we've got so many problems that are actually created in this country. Another thing that's related to the to water fluoridation is heart disease. And we have a book that deals with water fluoridation that we carry through Radio Liberty. And they noticed in the original studies that there was almost twice as much heart disease in the areas where they fluoridated the waters, where they didn't. And you can't help but ask yourself, why is it there was a recent study that was done comparing heart disease in Englishmen and Americans, comparable ages, I think 50 to 55 or 50 to 60, and they had twice as much heart disease in the United States as they had over in England, and it had nothing to do with drinking or diet or anything else, just much more heart disease in this country.
Stay there. With antibiotics, with drugs, with surgery, we would have all be living to 150, folks, but they bring in all this other garbage to poison us, totally fries our entire system. We'll be right back with Dr. Stan Monti.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Women are obsessed with how they look. They eat almost nothing. They're more and more of them are infertile or sterile. They are overweight. They're unhappy. Get your thyroid straight. Stop drinking sodium fluoride. Get more iodine. These are basic facts. There are a lot of suppressed cancer treatments. HIV was manufactured. We're going to go over all that and more with Dr. Monteith in the time that we have left with him today. Really honored to have him. Just a program note here. We really are having an effect. We're waking up millions of people. The amount of folks that I'm reaching and my guests are reaching, and because of you, the listeners spreading the word on the internet and AM and FM dial, and by passing my films along, is exponential. And I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to be shut up. I'm not afraid to be killed. I've been physically attacked before. I've had all sorts of dirty tricks played on me. We've been getting death threats again since Bilderberg. But I'm also seeing national media attack me and demonize me and go after me. But I'm also seeing massive attacks on the web by individuals whose YouTube accounts, MySpace accounts, other accounts, they don't even hide that they work for Army Intelligence, psychological warfare, CENTCOM, private corporations, Homeland Security-sponsored blogs. This is right out in the open. They think you're too stupid to see that their sites have Homeland Security banners on them and that they're actually paid. But I see things like this YouTube video. Somebody sends it to me and says, why are you attacking Sarah Palin for saying that dinosaurs are the lizards of Satan? I never said that. I never said she said the world was 4,000 years old. I'm not attacking Christians. That's made up. And so they put out these videos, you know, Alex Jones lies about Sarah Palin. And then you go to the video and it's a CNN piece. I'm not in it. My websites aren't in it. And they've got people on there saying, it was just a joke that I said she thought lizards were satanic. And it's not even me. His name's not Alex Jones. But see, they count on you in propaganda on it being very low level. We give you names, documents, proof, you know, scientific reports, government reports. We ask you to write it down and check what we're saying. Do not believe us. And then meanwhile, I'm just telling you, this is how it starts. There'll be an evangelical, if you can call it that, but that's what he's known as, black Catholic. He goes out and evangelizes, but he's a former evangelist, so it's that style for Catholics. And then they start saying on the web that I'm this Catholic, and I'm not even bashing Catholics or saying Catholics are bad. My point is, and I get threatening emails 5 years ago saying, how dare you, you know, give this speech, and they have the text of it calling people to be Catholics, and I don't email them back because I don't have time to email people back. You know, I was getting hundreds of emails, probably thousands then. It was about 5 years ago. I get tens of thousands a day now. We try to read it all. That's a job in and of itself. And so I don't respond. Then it's, you will now be exposed. or there's sites exposing me for being an NPR reporter leading a double life, running a Rockefeller-funded Shorenstein Center. The guy's almost 70 years old, Alex S. Jones. That ain't me. I mean, it's like I got a name like David Jones or John Smith. Not my fault. But see, the people putting that out know that, I've now discovered. They know that, and they cynically, there is a PR director for Scientology called Alex Jones. And it's all over the web that I am a PR director for Scientology. That coupled with the fact that I have a website called PrisonPlanet.com, total proof, because L. Ron Hubbard talked about a prison planet. He actually ripped it off from Frank Herbert. That's where I got it. I've not read any of L. Ron Hubbard's books. But, you know, the point is that, and I guess people have written about prison planets before that, but I got it from Frank Herbert writings. He wrote a bunch of books, like the Dosati Experiment about a prison planet, Dune, prison planet. But I'm digressing. We have Dr. Monteith on the line. The point is, he just ignores it and moves forward. And Monteith is an icon in this movement, has reached tens of millions of people, probably one of the second or third largest shows out there, probably the second. He's probably got the next biggest show. And I just really respect him, and I hate to bring up things like that and then get back into eugenics and what's happening. But at the same time, I have to tell my listeners, you know, you're hurting them. You're spreading the word. I am in great danger. I'll just tell you that point blank. But I stand with God in God's hands. It's, you know, I'm in my destiny is whatever God's going to happen, you know, have happened to me is going to happen. I'm just saying you also should appreciate Dr. Monteith, myself and others, and understand. Well, I haven't asked him, but I would imagine he's under intense attack. Everybody else I know is who's really doing good. Kind of a 3 or 4 minute rant there, Dr. Monteith. Do you have any comments on it?
Well, you're being attacked because you're being effective, and God bless you for what you're doing. And, you know, if you were not being effective, they wouldn't attack you. So just be proud of what you're doing. And as you said, we have to leave it up to God. There's no way you can protect yourself. There's no way I can protect myself and my family. I put my life in God's hands long ago and said, it's up to you. If you want me to do it, protect me. And I'm still here. You're still here. And with God's help, we're going to continue doing what we're doing.
Absolutely. And you know, when I'm around globalists, they are horrified of us. They don't even laugh at us anymore. They're horrified. I mean, have you noticed they've gone from arrogance to now starting to realize that there's an end of the road for them?
I think that all of them realize, of course, that this is a spiritual battle. Many of them know the God they serve, and they're wondering what's going to happen when they die. And, you know, some of them, you know, actually have actually defected from the other side and tried to tell the people what happens, and usually they're finished off in short order.
Now, you were bringing up a doctor on record saying we can't give people treatment, they've got to die. All these other eugenicists the head of the IBM Human Genome Project, we'd already exposed this in Endgame, and then it came out like a month after Endgame came out when he said blacks basically weren't humans, Dr. Watson, not related to the founder of IBM, Dr. Watson, but he was the head geneticist there, even when it was still the Eugenics Records Office at Cold Springs Harbor. And, I mean, that's who they are. That's what they're doing.
They have an intense hatred of blacks and of browns. And, you know, they want a white world population. Well, I happen to be white, but I think what they're doing is criminal. I believe every person, black, brown, red, yellow, they're all made in the image and likeness of God. And these people have to be exposed for what they really are. They're the ultimate in racist, and they've designed many of these diseases, specifically AIDS, because it is genome specific. It is for certain specific races. This is why we have such a low incidence of HIV in the general heterosexual population of the United States, or the white population, and such a high incidence in the black and the brown population here in the United States. And one only has to go to the reports that come out from the Centers for Disease Control. You can call them. They'll send you the HIV report. I get it every year. And, of course, almost, not quite, but almost half of the HIV cases in the United States are in blacks. And certainly when you take the blacks and the Hispanics, why it is the vast majority. The whites are in a minority because this disease has a specific predilection for blacks. This is why you can go into Botswana today, and 46% of the pregnant women, and they're all tested, believe me, The U.S. Public Health Service is working with the World Health Organization. They're testing those women to see what a great job they're doing. And of the pregnant women in Botswana, 46% are HIV infected. They're all going to die. Anybody who wants the report, we get these reports from the U.S. Commerce Department, and your tax money is being used to determine what a great job we're doing with genocide in Africa. And we're doing a great job over there. Don't think for a minute we're not. We're very accomplished in this sort of thing, and it's being done with our tax money. But the average American is never allowed to realize that in Botswana today, 46% of the pregnant women, and they test them all, 46% are HIV infected.
Amazing. Just in, up on InfoWars.net, top story, InfoWars.net, Nader calls for new 9/11 investigation. Independent presidential candidate says he supports 9/11 truth movement, that it may be an inside job. The reason that's so important is I talked to Nader a week and a half ago in Denver on video. That's up on PrisonPlanet.tv. And we also aired it here live, the interview, the audio, that he did know about Cheney planning to have U.S. Navy SEALs dress up like Iranians in fake blue patrol boats, painted up like Iranian boats, and have them attack U.S. ships and to have a, quote, shootout. People keep saying kill Navy SEALs. If you actually read what Cheney was saying, it's have them attack the ships. But then they said, well, then the ships will kill the SEALs. And they said, well, that's fine. The point is, this is big news, not because we agree with all the things Nader does or any of that. He is an icon. I mean, I was out there, and there was Josh Brolin, you know, the star of W, No Country for Old Men, and there was all the other Hollywood people that were there at the event Nader was at, that I was backstage on interviewing people, and there was, you know, 8,000 people there to see him. Point is, this is a big move for 9/11 truth. Dr. Monteith, shifting gears briefly, what do you say to that?
I think it's great. I don't care whether Nader has a pointed head. If he wants to get to the bottom of what happened on September 11th, we need to support him and support everybody. Because once we can convince the American people that what happened on 9/11 was not what we saw, that this was obviously a controlled demolition of Building Number 7, and if Building 7 came down, was a controlled demolition, then everything else is a lie.
Absolutely. We've just got two segments left with our guests, and I'm going to get into the directed energy weapon news. We're honing down exactly what these super weapons Bob Woodward is talking about that are as big as the Manhattan Project. They're directed energy weapons. Again, they admit they don't have a lot of military use other than terror. It terrorizes the public to watch people's flesh melting off their skin. Dr. Monteith, comments on that?
Well, I think they're in for some terrible, terrible times. I think that they are trying to demoralize us. They're trying to create a situation that is so horrible that we just want to watch television. We want to watch football. We want to watch the World Series, the baseball game. What we've got to do is get people to understand that they are involved, and we can still turn this thing around. All we need is enough people who care and who love us.
That's right. Stay there. Stay there. Here we go.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm East Pound, just like old Bandit Run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, some never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana.
That's right, Gary Reed died last week.
East Pound and down.
But the moral of the story is, you're not going to live forever. And this life is about standing up for what's good and honorable and helping others. And that really is the greatest reward in life. The world, the flesh tells you it's about piling up treasures and rewards. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but that's on your hierarchy of needs, that's down lower. And anybody who's been successful will tell you that. People who've never been successful will always lust after things they've never had. Once they have them, they realize that that's not what life was really all about, unless they're turned completely over to evil. And the greatest expression of evil is playing God, thinking you're God, and trying to play God. And I think that's the greatest main theme or main rail that the New World Order glides on is playing God, being God, engineering, controlling, dumbing down, lying, creating these complex systems of control. They're very obsessive compulsive individuals at the highest levels. And they've built this multi-generational control grid. Now, people say, what do we do about it? Well, they haven't completed their New World Order. They haven't fully absorbed all of humanity yet. They haven't fully gotten their grid in place. They haven't fully gotten their New World Order in place yet. They are always speaking about wanting their New World Order and saying that it's here, but being constructed. Dr. Monteith, can you speak to that and defeating these people?
Well, all we can do, of course, is educate people. But the most important thing, I think, is for people to understand this is a spiritual battle. And behind all of these people moving us towards the New World Order are powerful spiritual forces. We're really fighting a spiritual battle on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. But until we understand that, we're not going to be able to be effective. These people are out to create a one-world government, and they want to control everything. They want to destroy the world population. And, of course, their ultimate goal is a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a new world leader. And that has been the goal of the secret societies down through the ages. It's coming to its culmination. We live in the most exciting time in history as we watch this thing unfold.
And by the way, even if you're an atheist and don't believe in God and the devil and revelations, the globalists do. I mean, the Club of Rome and the UN even calls it the Ten Kingdoms, the Ten Regions. They use all that nomenclature when they have big RFID summits. They had one in Chicago. They were calling it devilish in their beast system and laughing. I mean, they are really into this, but they think that basically they're going to win. And then they fool worldly people by showing them the phony mainline Christians.
Well, all we need to do is look at the logo for the Trilateral Commission. You'll find it at their website, trilateral.org. And it's a circle with three arrows in it, but they're curved in such a way that if you look very closely, you realize they are duplications of a six. And they're joined together in the center by an upside-down broken cross. Six. Six, six, joined together by an upside-down broken cross. They understand exactly what they're doing. And, of course, this is the organization created by Zbigniew Brzezinski, who's the foreign policy advisor for Barack Obama. And, of course, this whole thing was funded by David Rockefeller, who also funded the Bilderbergers, who's the honorary chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, and who, in his own biography, in his memoirs, which we incidentally carry, Memoirs by David Rockefeller on page 405, says, you know, there are some people who accuse my family and myself of being part of a secret cabal that is working against the best interests of the United States and working to bring about a new international order. And if that is the charge,
guilty.
I stand guilty. I am a proud internationalist. Those are his words, not mine.
And under internationalism, it's not all this flowery stuff that brainwashed zombie cult followers believe and New Agers. It is a New World Order of total dictatorial control. The world government is a means to an end, and the end is extermination of the majority of the population. These are conquerors who don't just want to dominate the world. They want to take control of human evolution, in their words. They want to kill the majority of us. It is genocide. It is the ultimate form of domination. Dr. Monteith?
As incredible as it seems, you're absolutely right.
And they believe they have great strength because of it. Final segment with Dr. Stan Monteith, where we'll talk about the heart of hearts, what makes the New World Order tick. When we get back, stay with me.
Well, I'm not the kind of kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a nine, so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo. But somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death defy. terrifying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for a living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. I might fall from a tall building. I might.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad that you decided to join us today on the most cutting-edge, hardcore, in-your-face radio program in the world. Call us.
I've never seen
hardcore is really a school,
but I taught ladies
understatement. Lady.
It's true, I hire my body out for pay.
The bottom line is we're having a big effect.
I've gotten burned over Cheryl Teagues.
Thanks to you,
Raquel Welch. But when I wind up in the hay,
we are having a big effect against the New World Order crime syndicate.
I jump on an open drawbridge.
And people are listening now more than ever. Because as Dr. Monteith said earlier, so much
makes Eastwood look so fine.
Of what we talked about many years ago has come true. And now people are ready to be awakened. They are ready to listen to us. Dr. Monteith, I want to get to what makes the New World Order tick, what their master plan is, who they really are at the bottom line. But before we do that, tell folks about your book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and the toll-free number and website to get that.
Well, Brotherhood of Darkness simply traces the origin of all of the movements. Basically, what they've done is they've tried to confuse it. And people will say it's the communists are behind what's going on. People will say it's the Council on Foreign Relations. But what we do is simply point out there are many organizations out there that have a common denominator, and that is to create a one-world government, a one-world religion, and bring about a one-world leader. And then, of course, the Brotherhood of Darkness tells you who's really behind the whole thing, and I don't want to give away the punchline, but it's an easy book to read, and I hope it has transformed the lives of many people. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or 5-HIV-WAR, if you like to remember that. It's the number we got when we were fighting the AIDS battle. But I hope people will get the book, read it, and then they'll explain to others what's really going on, because there are powerful spiritual forces behind the people who are moving us towards world government. And until people understand that, nothing going on really makes sense.
Well, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And again, I don't come at this from my own perspective and then try to make the world fit into my previously held worldview. I just covered the facts. When I first was waking up 15 years ago, we got on air 13 years ago, I was a lot more mainline. I didn't get into the fact that, the world leaders are devil worshipers. But it's their own writings. It's official UN policy. I mean, it's there's so much of it. Where do you even start? This is really not hidden at all. It's just not on the nightly news. They are very obvious about what they're doing. And to find out that a weird sex cult that worships Lucifer, that is completely materialistic and, but at the same time, very nihilistic, is in control of nuclear weapons and bioweapons and chemical weapons and social engineering and really have got themselves together. It's hard to deal with, but they're the ones saying it, aren't they?
They certainly among themselves are readily admit what they're up to. In fact, they even publish things. We carry something called the Work of the Spiritual Hierarchy. That's the Work of the Spiritual Hierarchy. We'll send a free copy to anybody who wants it. It's put out by the Lucius Trust, used to be the Lucifer Publishing House, or the Lucifer Organization, but they changed the name to Lucius because Lucifer is, some people get a little upset when they realize there really are Luciferians out here at the highest levels of our government. But in their publication, they readily admit they have their people planted, certainly in the financial organizations throughout the world, in governments throughout the world, in education. And this is something, this working of the spiritual hierarchy, distributed by the Lucius Trust Organization. You go to their website, luciustrust.org. They are financed by some of the wealthiest people in the world, but you'll never hear this discussed. This is on mainline ABC, CBS, NBC, or Time, Newsweek, or U.S. News and World Report.
This clip we're about to play, I played twice in the last 2 days, is a well-known little Christian ministry that goes around preaching to Masons and others. And then there they are at a big Shriner group going into a hospital. And the guy comes over and says, "I am Lucifer." And he says, "We say that again. Yes, I'm Lucifer." And they believe that Lucifer basically is the twin or one side of Jesus. And then you even tell low-level Masons, and they just go, "Oh, no, that's not the case," because they don't know that even in the most prophetic official books of Masonry, but low-level Masons aren't supposed to read that, that they are possessed by Lucifer. So let's go ahead and play that clip. Here it is.
"Lucifer, what is your problem?"
"Just that, sir.
Okay.
I'm a Christian, sir.
I'm pure and virtuous and wholesome and innocent. How can you say anything bad about me?"
"Sir, you need to be born again."
I am born again."
"Now, did you just say that you are Lucifer?"
"I am Lucifer."
"Okay, define Lucifer for me."
"Pure, virtuous, wholesome, innocent individual that's out to help people."
"Lucifer is?"
"Yeah."
Say that again. "Lucifer is a pure, holy..."
"Virtuous."
"Virtuous. Now, see the Lucifer that God created?"
"That's the same one."
"Oh, man, this is great. I'm going to put this on the internet."
"Oh,
amen.
God bless you,
amen,
brother."
"Because that's exactly what the Shriners and Masons teach, is that Lucifer is light."
"No."
"And you're,
what
you're
about
confirming
those hospitals?"
You know what, sir? Jesus said, "Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do these good deeds in your name? And you'll say, away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you."
Jesus said it?
In Matthew chapter 5.
"Mercy.
No.
That's hard to believe."
"So you're a Christian and you don't know that?" "Actually..."
"No, I really am."
"You are.
Because I'm pure and virtuous."
"You're pure and virtuous, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're perfect without Jesus, right?"
No.
"Okay, tell me about Jesus. Who is Jesus?"
He's my leader."
"Is he the Son of God?"
"Yes, he is."
"Is he the only worshipful master?"
"Yes."
"Have you ever been called worshipful master?"
"No, because I've just been too busy. I've been working.
Working.
Been working to help people."
"What
like
kind
you.
Of work?"
"Okay. Get out of here."
See, this is what a Mason confesses, is that Lucifer is light. Have you heard?
And the guy walks off with the rest of the Masons. And now, again, I've had a lot of family that are Masons. I'm not bashing them. The founding fathers, most of them were. They're not bad people, but the people at the top of the group try to get the best in society to join them, so they're in control of the good, active people. And that's just a fact, and that's certainly part of the Brotherhood of Darkness, isn't it, Dr. Monteith?
It sure is. In fact, somebody sent me that clip this morning, and I watched it on YouTube, and we're going to post that, and I'm sure you have it as well.
I don't know what the deal is, actually, or maybe I'm missing it. I've been asking my guys to post it for 3 days. John, send that to Paul Watson at PrisonPlanet.com and to Kurt and everybody else. I really want to get that. Send that clip, that YouTube link to them, please.
That is so important, but people have to really understand, Alex, that this is part of the Gnostic religion. And you can go up, you can read this in the encyclopedia, or I'll send it to any of your listeners who want to get it. Give us a call. We'll send them pages from the Encyclopedia Americana, which explains that the Gnostics believe that there are two gods. One is Jesus Christ, and the other is Lucifer, and Lucifer is the real god. That's the one that they worship. And
well, that's the one that's the one that'll give them power, yeah.
That's the one that'll give them power. That's the one that'll give them fame. That's one that will give them wealth. And this is what it's all about. And you can actually tap into that source, but you don't want to do it because it'll cost you your eternal soul. People do not really understand that there are people out here in our country today who say they worship God, but they worship a different god. And some of them are at the highest levels of our government. The Gnostic religion is simply a continuation of the ancient Kabbalah, which was a continuation of the
Egyptian
religion of the ancient mystery religions, and that's what Masonry and Rosicrucian.
Listen,
is.
I grew up in a rich bedroom community of Dallas, Rockwall, Texas. You know, where we were poor compared to everybody, and we were upper middle class. And I mean, it was just a cult everywhere.
Right.
I mean, you'd be at somebody's mansion, some girl you're dating, and they're into the occult. You'd be taken to a party. And it'd be an occult thing. I'd be like, I'm getting out of here. I mean, and it would be this group of friends, that group of friends. It didn't matter. Now, Austin isn't that bad, though. It's supposedly an occult center. It's mainly a white magic center, which is just as bad, but they're just not sickos and trying to have power and mess with you. But, I mean, I don't think people realize that, we watch the senators do the hand signs on TV. They're all out there in the open, ladies and gentlemen, in your face. And then the public jokes around. You know, there's so much occultism, the public picks it up and just thinks it's a joke. But it's not a joke, is it, Dr. Monteith?
It's really not. And so much of what we see on television today is a manifestation of that. This program, The Medium, where this woman contacts the other dimension. Where does she get her power? It comes from the devil, but that's never brought out. The Heroes, a very, very popular program, the battle between good and evil. The only question is, who's good and who's evil in this? People must understand that it is a spiritual battle. These people own the wealth of the world. But, of course, what would we expect? After all, who's the prince of this world?
Why, and by the way, folks, I don't want to hear that there's not something spiritual going on. Mathematicians came up in the 40s with equations. I even saw this on PBS. I'd read about it before. It's even on mainline TV, where when the satellite in the 70s flew over Saturn, if their mathematical calculations were correct, there would be a hexagon expressed by an interdimensional field on its poles, and sure enough, it was there. I mean, there is just so much we don't know about. We're a little blue-green jewel in the middle of the cosmos, but the TV and media has us so busy looking down at the ground, not seeing the big picture around us, and I find that all these so-called atheist organizations are really run by these Rosicrucians, by these Luciferians, by these Satanists, and they just want the public not looking into any of it or thinking Christians are stupid, but the secret is they're really into it.
And people can go up on the Internet and look up the website for the Rosicrucians and the Theosophists and the Lucis Trust. They're there, but the average individual has never even heard of them or understands that these are the people who are directing the course of world events today and are moving us rapidly towards World War III.
Absolutely, absolutely. Guys, I'm getting a little bit of an audio feed in my head of some other show or something you guys are recording. Just a note to the network. Okay, listeners probably can't hear it. Dr. Monteith, I'm going to let you go. I enjoyed the hour and 45 minutes that we spent together today, and I really appreciate your tireless dedication. The seeds you've planted have grown into generation after generation in almost 50 years. Of people that have awoken and just waves of people they've awoken. And so the work you've done is incalculable. It just cannot be calculated. And so I salute you and appreciate all your time.
I appreciate everything you're doing, Alex. God bless, and look forward to having you on our program next week. Hope you can make it. Bye-bye and God bless.
Take care, my friend. You know what? Send that Lucifer clip to Aaron, because maybe I'm missing it, but I've been asking for 3 days for this to be posted, and I'm looking at Aaron right now, John. If you will IM that to Aaron Dykes. Hey, Aaron. Hey, Aaron. I got to scream for him to hear me. I mean, maybe I'm missing it, but I want it to be a tile on the site, because everybody keeps asking for it. He's going to IM you that Lucifer clip. I haven't been able to get the guys to post it, or I've missed it. Will you post it as a tile on InfoWars? The Lucifer clip? Maybe on Prison? Well, I never saw it on InfoWars. Or it's hidden, wherever it's at. Do what? What is an image of Lucifer? Oh, yeah, I did see it, actually, with the light shining down. It's one of those carvings of one of those carving prints, black and whites of Lucifer. Okay, so it is up. I'm wrong. Okay, well, then I stand corrected. So there's just so much going on, I can't keep track of it. You know, I sit out of air this directed energy weapons video clips off Italian TV where they've got press conferences where they basically admit that that's what they have. A pure terror weapon. I mean, they can aim a 50 cal into a bus and kill everybody on board. Or they can shoot a crowd up with a 50 cal or with a cluster bomb or with a mortar. But instead, they like to zap them, and then everybody basically fries and shrivels up to one-third their size. And it's just all part of the horror, all part of magic to scare the locals. Ooga booga. That is some of the news that I have here. Look at this story. Students can send text message tips to cops. teens in 10 high schools, and again, these are always regional. Austin's been doing this for, I had the Austin police chief in here. I have newscasts with the old police chief saying it. I have TV commercials they run to tattle on your parents, and he's saying, I don't know anything about that. But see, I've been trained, all of us, just to accept lies. Oh, okay. Or maybe Art Acevedo doesn't really know. Teens in 10 high schools can send messages to alert police about possible violence and maybe earn rewards. Ah. There won't be any teenagers that make stuff up. There won't be any. What about just calling the school police, the school jail guards, if something happens? No, this is about rumor, innuendo, CPSing. These psycho parents are giving 6 and 7-year-olds phones now to fry their brains. Crime Stoppers of Cook County is even offering rewards to tipsters whose information produces arrest for murder cases that can involve up to $1,000. Particularly, every student these days has a cell phone. Students are texting each other messages faster they can dial a number, Police Superintendent Judy Weiss said in an announcement. But do they care about Los Zetas killing hundreds in Chicago? Do they care about mafia gang wars? No, no, no. They'll use that to take citizens' guns. Yeah, National Guard's gun confiscating in Illinois now. The journey towards enslavement intensifies. Some of the other news that I have here. Shoppers to use fingerprints or eye scans to pay for goods. They first tested this 7 years ago. No, 8 years ago in Texas. It's actually in Police State 3, total enslavement. And I even read the company consortium meetings, minutes, there were a bunch of them, where they get together and say, how do we force people to do this? And so we can tax them and track them and trace them, and the government wants it for national sales tax. Well, we just pull out the service lanes and make you do self-serve. Then we make you thumbprint and face scan to use the self-serve. You have no choice. And I've been at Home Depot or HEB when it's only self-servers, and I just demand a manager come. And one time he wouldn't come. I just left a big cart of food right there. I said, you know what? I'll come back when you got the two lines, you know, where I can get some service here. You just restock that. You just restock $300 in groceries. C'est la vie. Vaya con Dios. Bon voyage. Hasta la vista. We'll be right back.
Front porch sitting in an old rocking chair. The sun is hot in the Texas sky. Garden growing, clothes out on the line. A dusty road when a car goes by. Storytelling of days long ago. And the only place she'd ever been. Singing softly, this world's not my home. Your memories take me back again. When I was young and Grandma wasn't old. When she guided me as I watched life unfold. Anything we didn't have, we didn't really need to hold. I was young, and Grandma wasn't old.
All right, back live here. Richard C. Cook coming up. You're going to hear Aaron Dykes' debut. Going to be running the show here. Be sure and plug at the end of the show, Aaron, that retransmission starts at Infowars.com in 60 seconds. Or get the free podcast. 60-plus thousand people getting the free podcast now every day. And I don't even plug that sucker. I need to more. We're about to come up with Infowars.com ringtones for everybody. Just anything to get the info out. That is the name of the game. Why, if we're going to risk our lives, why not go for broke? Why not? The enemy's going for broke. Why not fight all the way 110%? Well, that's what we're doing. We're not fighting to lose here. And a lot of people in our own movement need to get ready for victories instead of always ready for defeats. Shoppers that use fingerprints or eye scans to pay for goods. Now, this is how the London Telegraph just getting their slaves ready now. The futuristic systems like those used by Tom Cruise in the scientific fiction film Minority Report, those were already all developed when that was put in that movie, are being developed by scientists for the Barclays card. The company has announced it's investing a seven-figure sum in contactless payment technology. Oh, you want the discount card. See, you're not going to get the food as cheap if you don't accept this. And then it's just, there's nothing you can do. You've got to accept it. I never used the Austin toll roads. And by never, they've been in a couple of years, and I've used them, I think, twice. But coming back in on that Saturday in the RV from Denver a few weekends ago, we couldn't take the toll road. Did you know that? We wanted to take it, and it's a ripoff. It lets you pay cash, and then 300 yards later, it says everyone without a control tag, a Tex tag. Oh, it's Texas, then it must be okay. It's cowboy. See, everything's propaganda. They make you get off the road. You can't use the toll road. So it's also a scam. You've got to get that tracker tag. And, of course, it came out 9 years ago or more in San Francisco. They were using the toll road cards to track everybody who had them in real time in federal studies. So just all part of the deception. I mean, we've got a government that puts poison in our water, that lies to us and says it's the law to take vaccines. It's bankrupt. It's criminal. But see, they have good police officers, good firemen, good government bureaucrats, good people that work in it who make the bad system look good. Kind of like during one of the nights of conventions, they had some famous World War II vet there, and it was a Vietnam vet and friends with McCain, and they talked about his service and looked and pointed him out. And yeah, he's a nice guy, good guy, courage. They use him to make the rest of the evil look good. See, they have all sorts of tactics. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us. I feel good. There's some American reporters going to be on with me. London Guardian reporter, pretty mainstream stuff. Everybody wants to be on it. It's on every major cable system in the world, basically. Satellite system, that is. So that is coming up. Don't forget, Fabled Enemies is out. So is Truth Rising. Two new 9/11 films produced by myself. Jason Burmes directed the new Fabled Enemies. Just check it out at Infowars.com. And realize you may know all about the New World Order, but your friends, your family, your neighbors, they don't. And this is a life and death situation to inform as many people as we can. I want to tell you about a couple of sponsors that make this radio show possible before we come back and go to our guest. And some of the sponsors that make this possible are the folks at New Vitality. And their website's at newvitality.com. Newvitality.com. They have hundreds of great different products there. They don't claim any magic or miracle cures there. They just have well-known for hundreds, in some cases thousands of years, things that are good for you, like concentrated aloe vera and other herbs known to flush out and detoxify your guts. Or saw palmetto, very concentrated with other herbs that are known to shrink the prostate and are even doctor-recommended for prostate problems. I mean, there's just so much there. So be sure and check out newvitality.com. Link through on the banner at Infowars.com to a special discount page for my listeners. Or call toll-free for Aloe's Colon and Body Cleanse or their Super Beta Prostate, 1-800-569-4056, 1-800-569-4056. You can also check out another fabulous sponsor, eFoods Direct, the longest continually operating storable foods company in the nation. almost 28 years. I know it's 27 years total. J. Michael Stevens Group, eFoodsDirect.com is the website. Get a free audio CD, brochure with all their products, presentations by the owner and founder, Steve Shank. 1-800-409-5633. 1-800-409-5633 is the toll-free number. Call, get the free catalog, the free audio CD. Order food today with all these uncertain things that are happening. It's very smart to do. 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. Again, that's eFoodsDirect.com or 1-800-409-5633. Now, one other sponsor I want to tell you about is really neat. That's echoloblue.com. 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 If you can't remember that name, just go to Infowars.com. There's a banner halfway down to echoloblue. Atmospheric water generator for the home. Pays for itself within 1 year if you buy your water from the store. Pure clean water without the fluoride. Ultimate water from the humidity in the air itself. Machine produces up to 28 liters in 24 hours or 7.5 gallons. Low operating costs. On average, it will cost you about 12 cents a gallon, and then it's paid off after a year. Great tasting, pure H2O, exactly the way nature makes it. No chemicals, pollutants, or toxins. Neutral pH. The water passes through an active carbon filter, then a silver impregnated carbon filter, then a reverse osmosis system, then a taste and color removal filter, and is stored in a tank illuminated by antibacterial fungal UV light. Also, the machine comes in colors red, black, white, green, silver, blue. echoloblue.com or 1-866-585-4044. Here is the coordinates for the landline transmission to verbally communicate with a human. 866-585-4044. All right, we'll be right back. I wanted to get into Keith Olbermann, why he was fired. We discovered why. That story is up on Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com right now. We'll briefly tell you about that as we get Richard C. Cook on. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones, Radio Network.
Okay, folks, we are transmitting live on the AM and FM dial, satellite, global shortwave, WWCR, the internet at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, and streaming live video over PrisonPlanet.tv. You've seen him in some of my films, camera guy, webmaster, writer, jack of all trades, really great guy. Short notice here, Iranian television, Press TV, their international service, has myself on, a London Guardian reporter, today. So that's coming up at about 3:07 Central for those that can... For those that are out there and want to record that and put it up on YouTube. So Aaron Dykes is going to be sitting in, coming up a little bit later in the show with Richard C. Cook. He's written for the Washington Post, other major publications, been a consultant for NASA, been a White House analyst, historian, and we really enjoy having him on. I wanted to briefly tell you why Keith Olbermann was kicked off. It was because of statements like the one we're about to play that's about a minute long. If you want to watch the full video, there's like an 8-minute video saying basically Iran attacked us on 9/11. The terrorists thought they'd win, but we're going to get Al-Qaeda and Iran. And basically it's like this warmongering propaganda that is so ham-fisted, it sounds like something out of The Running Man or some dystopic 1984 novel or movie. And then Tom Brokaw is talking about how great the attack on Al-Qaeda is and how the endless wars, we're going to win the fight against Al-Qaeda. And they cut to Olbermann, and he says this.
Tom, Chuck, great thanks. Tom Brokaw and Chuck Todd, we'll be back with you later on in the broadcast. I'm sorry, it's necessary to say this, and I wanted to separate myself from the others on the air about this. If at this late date any television network had of its own accord showed that much videotape and that much graphic videotape of 9/11, and I speak as somebody who lost a few friends there, we would be rightly eviscerated at all quarters, perhaps by the Republican Party itself, for exploiting the memories of the dead, and perhaps even for trying to evoke that pain again. If you reacted to that videotape the way I did, I apologize. It is a subject of great pain for many of us still, and was probably not appropriate to be shown. We'll continue in a moment.
And you can go watch the video that was inappropriate. They played scary music under it and said, and it kept showing Iranians and Iranian flags and basically saying they did 9/11. Just incredible propaganda. Now, this is up on Infowars.net. I want to ask Richard C. Cook about this first before we get into Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. Before we do that, but now... Ralph Nader's come out, and he has a huge following, that's what's important, and said that 9/11 could be an inside job, there should be an official investigation. He said that in a press conference. So things are getting big here. The 9/11 truth movement is just exploding. A, what do you think this means to the New World Order crew? And B, extrapolating out, how do you see this developing in the future, Richard C. Cook?
Well, I think it's really interesting and a very, very good thing to see Ralph Nader finally talking about real issues. You know, he's been going on about the same things he's been talking about for years with this latest presidential bid, corporate corruption and all the stuff we know all about. But now if he's coming out for 9/11 truth, I also saw that there was a press conference. It was either today or yesterday at the National Press Club in Washington where Ron Paul, Cynthia McKinney, Ralph Nader and one or two other people were coming out for a full-scale investigation of the Federal Reserve. So here again, Ralph Nader, I know people who worked with him were has been very reluctant to take on the real big ones, and the Federal Reserve is a big one. Clearly 9/11 is a big one. So I think this really points to some very important progress being made in our country. And in addition, there is an interview published today on Global Research where a good friend of mine, Mike Whitney, who's a writer out of Washington State, has an interview there with Dr. Michael Hudson, who's talking about a new political party that will kind of consolidate all of the fragmented third parties in this country and try to put together a real movement to begin to address the real issues and taking our country back.
So yeah, you noticed that Bob Barr, exactly, that was this morning, you noticed Bob Barr snubbed that meeting, and I have to say, we've had him on the show before, but I don't really trust Bob Barr.
Well, I think the libertarians, to my mind, are playing a little bit of a role like Ross Perot played back in 92, kind of a teaser, you know, to pull away attention from what's going on. I know I had a lot of respect for Perot, and I hoped that he would have followed through and done what he had set out to do.
But the Bushes and the Clintons...
Same thing happening with Barr.
Yeah, well, they did threaten to kill his family, so that's why he backed off. And then that was almost a non-event after they threatened to go after Ross Perot's daughter and wife. He just came out and said, yeah, they threatened to kill my family. And the news said, oh, whatever, he's just crazy. And Rush Limbaugh played, you know, they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, ho-hee-hee-hee, just like JFK. So it's to the funny farm, you know, that Rush Limbaugh song.
Right. Well, I think right now enough people are starting to come together that maybe we will see a real political movement coming out of all of this.
Well, there's no doubt that Congress has a 9% approval rating. The system can't sell its lies anymore. And it is that crisis of confidence. I mean, they can have their spooks on radio, TV, and the web say 9/11 truth's dead. That's like saying iPods are dead, you know, when they're at their absolute hottest. That's like saying electricity is dead when there's more electricity being generated than ever. It's like saying the sun is dead. But it works on some people. Oh, I guess our movement's over. It is only getting bigger, and skepticism is only increasing exponentially. What do you see the establishment doing to try to counter that? Just more iron-fisted tactics?
Well, right now, let me just mention, I have a new analysis coming out on the 08 election. It's called Election 08, Crime, Family, Food Fight, or Threat to Mankind. This is out, will be out in a few days. It's a special report that I'm putting out in cooperation with my partner, Susan Boskey, and if I could, Alex, let me give you the way people can contact us for this. It's an email address. It's the one we've used before on your show, economicsanity@gmail.org. And it looks to me as though they're staging this almost tragic comedy of the 08 election between two parties who really are the ones who've controlled public opinion for so long. But there's a divergence, I think, between the traditional establishment elite, which has come out of the banking systems for so long, which is trying to keep things afloat. It's the soft landing that we've heard about. This whole Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac thing is to try soft landing, where we just kind of slide into a very long-term economic decline, recession, depression, kind of the way we've gone with a little bit of tinkering around the edges that the Democrats want to do to prop up what is left of the welfare state without really ever changing anything, just kind of a decline and fading away of the United States, of our democracy and all that goes with it, versus these really radical neocons who have captured the Republican Party and are running their candidate, John McCain, and now Sarah Palin is kind of a front person for all of this, who seem to want to take us into a world war against Russia. That's our choice, as I see it, and I go into detail on this in this special report that I'm just getting ready to release.
Folks can also visit your website. Give that out.
Yeah, the website is www.richardccook.com, and people can write to me through that. The special report is coming out, and it's available by writing to Economic Sanity @gmail.com.
Now, that's why I wanted to get you on later in the second part when Aaron's here with you, Mr. Cook. But right now, I want to get into the two big mortgage giants, because I had Dr. Roberts on and some others yesterday, and they were getting into the fact that this could make the entire Treasury insolvent, taking on trillions and trillions of dollars. And we're talking about hundreds of trillions with what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac had actually leveraged, bundling these debts and then selling them as securities and then using fractional reserve banking to loan them out 10 times 10 times 10. And Dr. Roberts agreed that it's in the hundreds of trillions we're talking about total exposure, and that this black hole is so big. I mean, he was saying his prognosis is even worse than it had been. But then if they wouldn't have done what they did, it would have caused insolvency in U.S. Treasury notes and bonds, because the U.S. Treasury had already guaranteed Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac previously. So your take on that?
Well, this is certainly true, but I try to look at it a little bit differently from that, because, you know, when you read the financial news now, you are reading commentators who are, you know, with all due respect, they're good commentators, good analysts, but it doesn't give me a whole lot of heartburn to think that this latest huge scam is going to take down the already existing scams, you know, of Treasury debt, of a $10 trillion national debt, of, you know, hundreds of trillion dollars in derivatives. It doesn't bother me that the viability of all of these other disasters may be threatened by this latest disaster. I mean, suppose the whole financial system just collapses. You go into bankruptcy reorganization, you rebuild it, but that's not the real problem. If I could, I'd like to
point stay
out
there. I want to talk about what the real problem is with Richard C. Cook, our guest, a top analyst, economist dealing with this. We're going to skip this break for InfoWars.com audio listeners and PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. People keep saying, well, how do I listen then? You go to InfoWars.com and you click on those streams. Those are special streams. All right, we'll be right back. Okay, continue. I don't want to waste any time with you. Go ahead.
Okay. We've got a financial system that's built on debt. The financial system is just pieces of paper that represent promises that somebody's making to pay. And we've got trillions of these pieces of paper. We've got debt upon debt upon debt, a gigantic pyramid of debt that's now falling down. But on the other hand, we have a producing economy where people make real things. ExxonMobil produces gasoline. Microsoft produces computers. General Motors produces cars, and so on and so forth. The producing economy is where the real wealth of the nation should come from.
But let me stop you. Instead of this fiat currency and fiat liquidity that gives the bankers kingship, and I'm going to let you get to your economic solution point here, but I just want to add the caveat, they're not accidentally letting this Ponzi scheme get out of control. They want to fully take over and bankrupt the real physical economy so they get ownership, and the implosion is their economic weapon of warfare to get the scraps of the real economy they don't already control.
Well, yes, and that's exactly what this bankruptcy is going on, is doing. So we may fuss and fume about how it's threatening the Treasury securities and all that. You're right. They don't care. Now, the problem is, for the last decade at least, and it goes back further, but particularly in the last decade, the United States economy has been built on the foundation of housing debt as its financial engine. Now, the reason they've done that is that decades ago, the international financial elite that runs the Western world decided that the United States would no longer be allowed to maintain its status as the world's great industrial democracy.
And they publicly stated that. Let me stop you. Let me stop you again and just back you up. That's been stated over and over again. We're too greedy. We've got too much. We've got to have the center of power taken from us and brought into this global corporate structure. Go ahead.
Well, that's been kind of the cover story. But the problem was that the United States, as an industrial democracy, based upon the principles in the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution, had built a system where people were free, where people had opportunity, where people could fulfill themselves. This was contrary to the concept of the one-world collectivist empire that the financiers have been planning for decades.
And the imperialist, actually, back in the 1780s, said this American system's horrible and it'll be the ruination of all of us if we don't end it as well.
That's right, and that was said again during the Civil War by the London financiers, because Lincoln financed the Civil War with greenbacks and war bonds sold to the population. The London Times printed an editorial saying if the United States was not stopped, it would become the most powerful nation on earth, and it would undermine all the monarchies of the world. And so they've been trying to take down our system ever since, and now this is the final phase of that. It's the final phase of a very old plan to create the collectivist, one-world, socialist, communist state that they began to do when they financed the Bolshevik Revolution.
Let me stop you there. Let me stop you there. I want you to go back 30 seconds, and you're going to have 5 minutes. And when we come back, it'll be Aaron here alone with you. I'm going to give you the floor. When we come back right now, explain, go back to that editorial in the London paper, and start over right now. Here we go. All right, Richard C. Cook, economist, analyst, written for major publications like the Washington Post, historian. You've got the floor for the next 5 minutes, and I'm going to leave. Aaron's going to come in here. Break down who's behind it, what the master plan is, the economic system, what they're setting up, why they want to bring down the U.S., how they've puffed us up with this imperial attitude, given us this domestic, haughty propaganda about how we're the boss, how they're setting us up to pull the carpet out from under us, how the war has been meant to demonize us internationally. You were talking about that during the last segment. Please wrap it up for us.
Well, as I was saying, decades ago, the international financial elite that runs the Western world decided that the U.S. would no longer be allowed to maintain its status as the world's greatest industrial democracy. This goes all the way back to the Civil War and even before when the nation was founded. But we have been under attack ever since then. And what we're seeing today through the deindustrialization of the United States, where the only way to float the U.S. economy has been through debt, through bubbles, and the latest and the last one, really, being this housing bubble, this has all been part of that process of taking down the United States as the world's greatest industrial democracy. Now, to prepare the mind of people, there have been nonprofit groups that have been working for decades to give us an educational system where everybody is dumbed down and everybody is fed the kind of collectivist propaganda that is contrary to the principles that were used when this country was founded. You've got foundations like the Carnegie Institute, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Guggenheim Foundation, because what they were planning to do was to create an environment of perpetual warfare where the only way people would accept a constant atmosphere of state terrorism as normal was by having an enemy to frighten people into voluntarily giving up their rights and accepting the legitimacy of a slave society. And a key to this slavery was a financial system based upon debt, because it was the financiers who were the architects and the expected beneficiaries of the planned system. And it's the same people who created the Federal Reserve System in 1913. Now, the 1970s was the critical decade in all this, because it was then that the financial elite, working through the OPEC nations as their instruments of change, wildly inflated the worldwide price of oil, and it drove the U.S. economy into stagflation. And to combat that, the financial elite, working through the Federal Reserve and its chairman, Paul Volcker, raised interest rates through the roof, and this caused the economy to crash in the recession of 1979 to 1983. Since then, our economy has run solely on financial bubbles. We had the merger acquisition bubble of the 80s. We had the dot-com bubble of the 90s. And then when that collapsed, we had Alan Greenspan's housing bubble of the 2000s. The purpose of the housing bubble was to allow George W. Bush to fight his wars of conquest in the Middle East. The bubble resulted in a tremendous inflation of housing and real estate prices that is unraveling today. But even though housing is still coming down, it's still so overpriced that many people who once could afford to buy a home no longer can do that and can't even get credit because financial institutions have been so reluctant lately to lend. It's this housing inflation that has powered the U.S. economy for the last decade. The bailouts and the takeover of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are simply to keep the economy afloat until the next election. That's what the whole thing, in my mind, is all about. Unfortunately, there are no further bubbles waiting in the wings, because when the American people gave up their homes to debt, they gave up the last real asset they owned of value, because they don't save anything anymore. The savings is gone, and even the savings that's gone into 401ks for retirement is now being sold off because people need that money to live. The takeover of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mae is simply a stopgap. The problem is not that it's devaluing the rest of the government's debt. Of course, that may happen. But the problem is that after the housing bubble, there is no more there are no more bubbles left, because there's nothing left of value that we own that we can sell or mortgage to get money to live on. That's the real problem as I see it.
Yeah, this is Aaron filling in for Alex Jones. And that's what I was going to add, is that the U.S. public is so disconnected from reality, I don't think they have any idea what's going on. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break in just a few moments. This is the Alex Jones Show with Richard C. Cook.
Baby, 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 I'm gonna leave.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is Aaron Dykes and for Alex Jones. And we are here with Richard C. Cook talking about the downfall of the entire economy. And Mr. Cook, the public doesn't even understand that there are elites. It has no idea what's really going on with the economy. It's just been told we've been bailed out. When is the public going to really feel the crunch of it? And what can we do to stop it? Is there anything?
Well, where they are feeling the crunch right now is in the process of stagflation that has begun. This is something I've written about in a couple of recent articles. It's the same thing that we saw in the 1970s, where we have prices going up and employment and economic growth going down. So where people are seeing this, they're seeing this in the tremendous run-up in the price of gasoline. This is not an accident. It's not being caused by supply and demand. It is not being caused by speculation in the markets, which is the cover story that's being put out. The rising cost of gasoline is a policy of the Western governments, of the U.S. government, to raise the price of petroleum as a kind of a tax on the entire world population in order to bail us out of the economic and financial collapse, and also to slow down the growth of the third world, the developing world economies like China and like India. So that's one place we're seeing it, at the gas pump. These prices are rippling out into all other elements of the economy. It's being passed on primarily in rising food prices. So that's, you know, every day I hear someone's come back from the grocery store and can't believe how much a gallon of milk costs. So this is another area where it's coming home to people. The third area it's coming home to people is in job loss. The economy lost 60,000 jobs last month. The economy is shedding jobs in the thousands per day. People are out of work. Jobs are hard to find. There's no new source of jobs coming into play because the last economic engine of the economy, the housing bubble, has burst. And so, you know, people aren't building homes. The financial industry is shedding jobs. People are having to cut their expenditures. They're having to, you know, live with their parents or rent group houses. These are all ways that this collapse of our economy is showing up in everyday life. Now, the United States has a certain amount of fat, if you will, in the economy. People still have 401ks, which they're now cashing in. They still have big houses, which they're now doubling up in and taking in rumors, or families living together. So, you know, there's a certain amount that can be absorbed, but the point is approaching very rapidly where that can't happen anymore. Homelessness is going up. The number of people who can't afford to eat decent food is going up. Now, none of this the mainstream media is reporting on. You know, the NFL season has started, and we're seeing lots of good football games on television. But it's all simply to cover up what's going on within the economy.
And, of course, the election is just a big distraction from that. But we're going to see no major change to the economic situation other than greater takeover and greater crises.
No, there's nothing they can do. Now, to give the Democrats some credit, they do have a platform where you have certain features that could make a difference. For example, in the Democratic platform, you have a feature of a national infrastructure bank. This is the kind of bank that was used during the Great Depression to capitalize economic recovery during the 30s, 40s, and even into the early 1950s. It's really what built the modern U.S. infrastructure. Nobody's ever heard of it because the financiers don't want you to know how easy it is for the government to capitalize infrastructure development and create jobs. There's legislation before Congress to do that. Kucinich introduced legislation for it. In the Senate, Senator Dodd introduced legislation for it, and it's in the Democratic Party platform. But they're nowhere near doing it because the current current political environment will not allow something as simple and as basic as an infrastructure bank, even though we see the growth of infrastructure programs that are now being used to at least address some of the problems we have with roads and highways and bridges and this sort of thing, but it's not nearly enough. The Republicans in McCain's stance against earmarks, earmarks are really a surrogate for his opposition and the Republicans' opposition to infrastructure spending. The reason they're opposed to infrastructure spending is that when the government spends money on infrastructure, you are using public funds to do what is needed to be done to create jobs and to shore up the physical economy. They want everything to go through the banking system. They want people to have to borrow money from the banks in order to do things like this. They want to use private credit to privatize the economy, where private companies and corporations come in and buy water systems and even buy roads like they did with the Indiana Turnpike. This is what the Republicans want. They want to drive the economy totally into the hands of the financiers, the banking system, the big international financial conglomerates, the equity funds. They couldn't care less about public support of the economy, about public financing of the economy. And if the Republicans are elected, it will be the worst possible thing that could happen for the economy of this country.
Are you saying it's actually going to make a difference if Obama's elected? Will he put in any of these backbone infrastructures?
In my opinion, we're going to see a little bit of tinkering around the edges the way Clinton did. A little bit more of certain aspects of the welfare state, which are oriented primarily to the lower economic rungs, to the poverty-level people. You know, we might see some more food stamps out there. We might see the earned income tax credit being expanded a little bit. I can't see right now the Democrats doing anything significant to increase the job base in this country that does not go through private enterprise, but we won't see anything really major because I don't think the Democrats have the power to go up against the financial elite that runs the system. At least that's the way it looks right now. I think that the only way to do it is to attack the Federal Reserve System at its root, the way Ron Paul has advocated, the way this group that met in Washington today was talking about, the one that included Nader, included Cynthia McKinney. We need a complete overhaul of the financial system. In addition to that, what I think we need to put into place immediately is a national dividend that would involve direct payment to individuals of the kind of resource revenues that they do through the Alaska Permanent Fund, where this year they've raised the Alaska Permanent Fund to a $3,200 stipend to each resident of Alaska that includes a fuel subsidy and includes a resource revenue royalty. We need to do something like this nationwide to attack the oncoming depression at its very roots. And it's very difficult. I can't see the Democrats doing this without just throwing out everything that they have been doing the last 20 years under the centrist regime that Clinton and the Democratic Leadership Council put in place, which is really what you might call Republican light. I think we need a complete revolution in public finance in this country.
But instead, it'll just be continue to leverage out to the global banking system, and the larger beast will continue to die.
I think so. I think that what the Democrats are really doing is to support the so-called soft landing, where we just kind of continue to slide into a prolonged depression.
And when do you think Americans will actually start to feel it? When will it be obvious on the streets?
Well, people I know.
Let's hope it's not.
Well, I guess, I don't know, maybe Austin is different, but, you know, where I am in Virginia and Maryland, it's an area that gets a lot of federal money to support it because there's so much government around here and so much military. But, my sister and my mother go to the grocery store and they're flabbergasted at what they have to pay or at what she has to pay for medication.
Well, I guess at a base level, I just see the dull optimism in people's eyes, hoping that a new president will actually run things and change things. Or, I don't know exactly. I just have the feeling that at a gut level, we have no idea what's going on the ground floor.
Well, that's true, and that's why one of the things that I'm constantly saying to people is that you have to get informed about the issues, and you have to understand that the root of the problem is the debt-based, usury-oriented monetary system that we have had in this country from the very beginning. And it's really the fact that the only way money is introduced into circulation in our economy is through a bank loan at interest that is, along with the export of our manufacturing jobs to third world countries, it's bankrupted the United States. And until the American people understand that and get educated on that and demand that we have a political leaders who can take back the control of the financial system or the monetary system from the international financiers who have run this thing in this country for decades, nothing will change. It will only get worse. And it could get so bad that we have a complete loss of our democratic system, our democratic values. I mean, it's getting to be that critical.
Yeah, shifting gears, but probably a parallel with what's going on. I've got a Register article here. NASA chief blasts U.S. space policy and leaked email. Mike Griffin says the White House is waging jihad against the space shuttle and offers a gloomy view of the future. Basically, it's everything to do with our Russian relations. And basically, we're giving up our spot on the International Space Station system. What do you know about this? And what does this mean economically and in terms of our future in space?
Yes, we have given up on the space station. Once the shuttle is retired in 2010, we will not have a vehicle any longer that can take astronauts to the space station. Now, the space station was supposed to be a vehicle of international cooperation where the U.S., Russia, the European Space Agency, Japan, and other nations would work together for the economic development of space resources. The United States has given that up. We've walked away from the space station, and we've put all of the money that we have into this program of establishing a base on the moon. But the problem is that all the other countries that are now in space are going to do the same thing. We thought we were going to control the avenue from the Earth to the moon through this latest venture, which is really the Apollo program rolled out again. But now Russia, China, the European Space Agency, Japan, and even India, if you can imagine that, are all announcing the fact that they're going to set up moon bases in the next 20, 30 years that will compete with the United States. We're even losing our ability to have leadership in space.
And how does that relate to our game of balderdash with Russia on the ground, basically stepping up tensions at every level, defense missile shield, the Georgia conflict, the Central Caucasus region, and now in space we're giving it all up too. What's going on with Russia?
Well, it depends on who controls the government coming out of the next election. Right now, we're playing a game of chicken with Russia that could lead to a World War III. The United States instigated the attack on South Ossetia that led to the recent conflict over Georgia, and we did that in order to escalate tensions with Russia because it's all a way to run away from our own economic collapse. It's called a flight forward syndrome. Bush has this great scheme of world conquest that he's been carrying out, and Russia's the next target for this because Russia is the one nation in the world that has the ability to separate itself completely from the financial system of the Western financial powers. And they're doing this, they're taking a stand, and they may be taking China, Central Asia, and possibly even India with them into a coalition that will draw the line in the sand where the Western financiers who control the Western nations, including the United States, cannot pass. Now, at that point, they either have a choice of trying to go to war against Russia, which a lot of them want to do, or of recognizing that our system is a parasitic system that's totally bankrupt and that has to be changed. The system can be changed. That's something that monetary reformers, including myself, have tried to get across to people. The system can be changed. The American system, as it was founded as a republic, under the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, give us the ability to change the system, to control our own destiny. We gave that power up when we allowed the financiers to come in and take over our country and our economy when the Federal Reserve System was set up in 1913. Everything that's happened since then, with one war after another and the military-industrial state that we have now, is all a consequence of losing our financial and our monetary freedom. We need to recapture that freedom. It can be done.
But what is it going to take to accomplish that? I mean, I don't see it happening. I see it's just moving more towards that World War III scenario.
In my opinion, what it takes is the creation of a new political party. We've seen things like the Reform Party, the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, but none of them has really stepped up to the necessity of recreating our constitutional system, and by starting with control of our financial and monetary system. Now, there is one party that recognizes this, and I don't know if they've been on Alex's show. It's the Constitution Party. I have met with officials and candidates of the Constitution Party who recognize what the problem really is and who see the monetary system as being the core issue that needs to be addressed, of going back and looking at what the Constitution says about the monetary system, where it gives authority over the monetary system to Congress. Now, I met with Daryl Castle, for instance, and Daryl is the vice presidential candidate for the Constitution Party. He understands this. Daryl spoke in Denver at a rally during the Democratic National Convention and, you know, brought this to people's attention. He's been going all over the country talking about this. Now, not very many people know about the Constitution Party. Not very many people are going to vote for it. But they have an answer to the problem, and it's people like them that need to get into the forefront and that all of us who are writing in this area need to call attention to. If they don't, if the American people are too blind, too asleep to begin to think for themselves about these things, then no, there's no hope for them.
Sure, we need to return to the Constitution, but first we have to defeat the Strangeloves. A few more minutes with Richard C. Cook. I'm Aaron Dykes, in for Alex Jones. We will be back in just a few moments. Back. This is Aaron Dykes, and just briefly for Alex Jones while he's getting ready for an interview with Press TV. And something I wanted to mention, today is the day they launched the Super Hadron Collider at CERN over in Switzerland, and an item in the Hindustan Times, Shiva the Destroyer presides over Big Bang mock-up. The symbolism is strong, as scientists at the European Organization for Nuclear Research, CERN, near Geneva, smash subatomic particles in the world's largest experiment, Shiva the Destroyer, will be in close proximity. That is right, they have a statue of the Hindu god of destruction over this new godlike project, and they're always trying to play God, this time literally trying to go back to the first seconds, the first milliseconds, the first moments after the Big Bang. And it's the same thing they did after the Manhattan Project. Robert Oppenheimer, who presided over the atomic bomb, wasn't even a scientist. He was an Eastern poet and philosopher researcher. And there's a quote he said after they dropped the bomb that was very similar to this business about Shiva the Destroyer. John, do you have that clip ready?
We knew the world would not be the same. A few people laughed. A few people cried. Most people were silent. I remembered the line from the Hindu scripture, the Bhagavad Gita. Vishnu is trying to persuade the prince that he should do his duty. And to impress him, takes on his multi-armed form and says, "Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds." I suppose we all thought that.
That's right, destroyer of worlds. The problem I have isn't that they're probably or even possibly one in a million chance going to end the world. It's that they're playing God. They're scientific dictatorships. Richard Cook, any final thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think they're kind of nuts, but if I could just mention, I've got a new article coming out today. Check on Global Research. It's called The Real Reasons for the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac Takeover, and it talks about some of the issues we've discussed today. I've got a new special report coming out. It's called Election 08, Crime Family Food Fight or Threat to Mankind. It's a long report. It's available if you will write to our email. It's maintained by my partner, Susan Boskey, and it's write to economicsanity@gmail.com, and we'll give you the information about getting hold of that report. The title is Election 08, Crime Family Food Fight or Threat to Mankind. I always like to maintain hope. I think we live on a beautiful planet. We're a talented people. I think there's hope, but people have to take responsibility for themselves and do the right thing.
That's right. Let's turn this thing around. Thank you, Richard Cook. And I just wanted to mention tomorrow, September 11th, get out there. Let's turn this thing around. Do your part wherever you are, whether it's New York City, West Coast, East Coast, over in Europe. Just get out there and let's let them know we know what really happened. And don't forget the podcast is about to restart in just a few seconds. I'm Aaron Dykes, just popping in briefly, usually just sit in the back while Alex, rides the mic here. So check it out, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Thank you very much. Podcast at Infowars.com. Retransmission in less than 60 seconds.